The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
We're going to skate to one song only. Lady Hump by the Black Eyed Peas. What you going to do with all that junk inside my trunk? I'm going to get you drunk off my lady hump, my hump, my hump, my lovely lady hump.
I don't even know what that means.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
It's over. All the endorsements, everything gone. Oh my God, I can't get a real job. It'll kill me.
Paul Perillo.
Is that your routine or a performance of Cirque du Soleil? Besides, you're too late. They already handed out the girls' medals this morning.
And Andy. And Andy?
You an official here? Because you have officially given me a boner.
Andy Hart.
Ah! Nutsack!
Hey! You gotta be careful, man. Unlike you, I actually use these things.
Hey, look, I didn't mean to drag your balls into the discussion. That was uncalled for. They're fine. I overreacted.
Eric Scalavino.
So how'd it go with your lady? Carve up any ice? With your wiener?
For now, anyway.
Mind-boggling, isn't it?
Did you just say mind-boggling?
Yeah, mind-boggling. You know, when things are so crazy, it gets your thoughts all trapped, like in a bottle.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
From here on out, you guys are a team. Do you understand? You are going to eat together, sleep together. You are going to pee together. You're going to file a joint income tax return. Practice starts now.
All right, and so does PFW in Progress. Welcome to the show. We are here at Gillette Stadium on Tuesday following an absolute offensive explosion for the New England Patriots. I don't think anybody predicted that. People predicted beating the Steelers, but not that way. And so we're going to talk about it, revel in it.
I beg to differ.
Oh.
I think you did. I'm being as serious can be.
Yeah, but no one takes him as serious as serious.
Maybe not
can
55,
be.
But you predicted an offensive explosion.
I did.
You used those words, and
I
you
did.
Said it was going to be a blowout.
I did.
Now, I don't think you necessarily thought it was going to be the way it went.
To me, offensive explosion was like 37 points.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's kind of what it was, you know, until the little icing on the cake at the end.
Yeah, so that was
I
good
think
stuff.
You nailed that one. I got to give you credit.
I could feel it coming.
You did, and you said it.
I could feel it coming. Yeah. Sort of like Andy with the bowels.
I didn't know Dick LeBeau was going to, like, vomit on
and here
himself.
He's got to just immediately trash the other team, Freddie.
I'm sorry.
It's not Patriots Football Weekly.
So why doesn't he do that every week?
Who?
Dick LeBeau.
I have no idea.
He kind of has. And you watch them? They're 2-6.
I know,
He has not been as good since Tim Tebow beat him. I think that ended his career.
He is getting old.
I think he's lost it. Personally, I really do think he's lost it. I don't think he's the Dick LeBeau you talk about.
Yeah.
I think he's lost it a little bit.
Yeah.
But that coverage in the first half especially was as horrific as I've ever seen.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people were saying how Polamalu in particular looked just out of sorts. He just didn't know where to go.
Well, he was freelancing. He just wasn't like on the same page as anybody else.
But regardless, I don't care. I mean, I'm not going to in any way diminish this
I am.
Effort. I'm surprised. I thought you would be...
I was pumped.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry. When their plan calls for a guy I liked, what's his name?
Shamarco Thomas.
A short, muscle-bound safety to be manned up with Rob Gronkowski, a 6'6", the most dominating player. And I'm not even... Okay, busted coverages on the Polamalu, on the Amendola. That's one thing.
Yeah.
But their plan for Gronk was either a soft zone... Free releases off the line, and then, like, a safety like Thomas on him.
Do you think that they counted on faster pressure and they didn't get it?
No,
well,
they haven't
shouldn't
had pressure
have.
All year.
They had 10 sacks coming in. Yeah. They couldn't get
pressure
on anybody.
They got more pressure in that game than they've got in any game all year, and that's a fact.
It was abysmal. I mean, I don't know what LeBeau was doing, and I think he cost his team the game. Certainly early, he cost his team the game, and they had to dig out of that hole, and they got back in it, but it was horrific.
Well,
I really think he's
left
it.
The barn by that.
Well,
yeah,
I'm glad that it was... This was the game that they decided to be that bad. So
the Steelers?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, that's...
They haven't done this.
But they haven't done that.
What? No, well, 55,
that was,
no. That was legendary.
That was Pop Warner football.
They've
bad.
Never given up that many points ever. Not forget
right.
this year. Ever.
Know,
and
ever.
Never given up that many
they
yards
were,
ever.
They were
but
number two in the
is,
NFL in pass defense coming
what
in.
What we did was we ignored the signs that were there all... Well, Fred didn't, because Fred saw this coming. Andy and I bought the numbers. On pass defense, not recognizing the fact that clearly teams just said, We don't need to do all that. We don't need to throw the ball all over the place on them because we can run it down their throat because the Patriots were able to do whatever they wanted on Sunday. And they haven't stopped anybody all year. They haven't done anything to, and they're 2-6 for a reason, and that's what we saw on Sunday.
One of the reasons is a lot of teams had too much respect for the Steelers' defense and played it conservative.
I think they did whatever they had to do to win the game.
Maybe they didn't realize we could have won the game by throwing it all over the place, too.
Well, they could have done whatever they wanted to.
Only two teams have lost to them. So it's not like other teams are kicking them. They beat
them. And one of them was the Jets,
who can't
throw the ball the way the Patriots can. Right. I mean, with the rookie quarterback.
Or anyone can.
Well, the thing is, up until yesterday, even Sunday, the Patriots couldn't throw it the way they threw it.
But it turned into seven on seven.
That's the key, I think.
It was 7-on-7 skeleton out there.
Yeah.
But they still have Tom Brady.
I know.
I'm sorry.
And they've had Tom Brady.
But that's a difference between Geno Smith and Tom Brady.
Yeah.
I don't think the other teams said, you know, we've given them too much respect. I mean, it's just a matter of what you're going to do. You know, Oakland the week before, I mean, the quarterback ran 93 yards for a touchdown. Why throw it when you can do that?
Well, it's
equally horrific defensively for Pittsburgh.
I think now the question that everyone's asking is, can they keep it up? Well, the answer is no. They're not going to do that. Maybe again this season.
Well, no, those 50-point outbursts, no matter how good or bad you are, only come at best once a year.
But I think what I'm seeing and why I thought, you know, they would do well offensively is I'm seeing a steady progression of the offense.
Sure.
And that was a quantum leap, and it will go back to, you know, reality against Carolina. But I saw that improvement. And, you know, so I wasn't surprised that they did really well offensively.
That was the thing that I was most excited about is after 8 games of really nothing, you finally saw what this offense might be able to be.
You know, I feel like I'm going to get in a fight with you right now.
Are you surprised that Gronkowski had the day he had?
Having seen the coverage, no.
Okay.
But based on the fact that a week before he had, what, 2 catches and did nothing, and Amendola had 2 catches or 3 catches and did nothing, I didn't necessarily see this coming. They were going 1 of 13,
yeah,
2 of 10 on third
down. What's the anomaly?
Down.
Those two guys being in the game together and doing nothing? Or
I have no idea.
Where they're productive?
We'll find out.
It was their first game together when
they did
nothing.
That's the first game the offense
just
has been productive.
Based on like your knowledge of Amendola and your knowledge of Gronkowski,
yeah, but I expected
which
them
do
to
you
be,
think would be more the norm?
But I expected them to be good the week before, and they weren't.
Right, but that's not the norm. You know, so basically,
but the norm this
what
year
I'm asking
is this
you to do
struggles.
Is use your eyes and use your
eyes. Well, my eyes told me they sucked as a passing offense for about a month.
Right.
That's what my eyes told
right.
me.
Right.
You want me to use those.
And you know the reasons why. That's
okay.
Only the second game that both of them on the field at the same time.
So that was why Brady was missing wide open receivers.
But no, he hasn't been missing wide open receivers.
Well, then you didn't watch games.
Oh, come on.
You didn't watch
Andy.
Games. Because I'm as big an apologist as there is for Tom Brady, but he's missed plenty of wide open receivers.
He has at times, but that's not. It's one of the factors.
And the rookies were dropping the ball.
That's a bigger factor than Tom Brady missing open receivers.
Of course it is.
Okay.
But the things I saw were a combination of bad things.
But let's try to actually talk about this without like using the hyperbole and going off.
I need to borrow your glasses.
Andy world.
Okay, I need to borrow your glasses so I can see it through your rose-colored glasses.
Do you think more of the norm is Amendola and Gronkowski being productive or not productive?
This year?
Based on your knowledge of these guys' history.
Productive, obviously.
Okay.
Well, wait
so
a minute.
This year we haven't seen them both on the field except for one game.
Well,
so,
two.
Right.
Well, I want to cut ties here. Gronkowski, my norm is highly productive. Amendola, I have no idea what the norm
when
is.
When he's on the field, he's productive.
No,
he's productive.
But
he's not highly productive. He's not a 100-yard guy. Because I just found out he had his fourth career 100-yard
game. He's certainly not
what
we saw
second
on Sunday.
This season.
But
I didn't know $30 million you could get after two career 100-yard games.
But he's not two catches
an NBA
for 20.
Contract?
You know, he had two catches for 20 yards.
But he had 4 on Sunday, yeah. Fred. He was uncovered twice.
Including a 57-yarder where there wasn't anybody within 25
okay,
yards.
Okay, so when they got Amendola, you said, this guy's not productive.
No, I never said that.
I didn't think he was going to.
You all said that this guy, when he's healthy, can play well.
Right.
If you don't Fred, so if you don't want to talk about it, that's fine. We can move on. We're just trying
right,
to
if you just want to yell and have your perspective.
But I don't understand why, you know.
I did not expect a game like Sunday out of Danny Amendola when I signed him. No. 57-yard touchdowns and 38-yard touchdowns.
You expected
I did not expect that.
You said
I expected
it.
A lot of short catches, not bombs where he's uncovered.
But a lot of production.
Well, to me, you and I have a different definition of production then.
Well, you don't think Welker was productive, so I can understand where you're coming from.
Not like that. He wasn't productive like Amendola was on Sunday.
In his own way, Welker was more
Amendola was far more productive Sunday than Welker has been what was most days as a Patriot.
I think to Andy's point, though, the one game where a team was actually covering Gronk and Amendola, they didn't do so well. The one game where they didn't cover Gronk and Amendola, they did great. So it'll be nice to see them against another team.
And Carolina will do
and
that.
And
that's why it's hard to answer the question is what's the norm? I don't know what the norm is.
So I think we need a few more games before we figure out what the norm with these guys is.
That was the only thing that I disagree with.
And there is no norm. Because what he did in St. Louis and what Gronk did with Welker and Hernandez is irrelevant.
That's my point.
Completely irrelevant.
I don't know what to expect going forward. I mean,
there is no norm.
I agree with what we saw on Sunday. I'm with you on that. I'm not putting it all on Pittsburgh and taking it all away from New England. And I agree we're being hyperbolic on both sides here. But to say what do you think is the norm? The two catches for Gronk and Amendola or what we saw on Sunday? I don't know the answer to that question.
No, it's gotta be somewhere in the middle.
No, but I don't know if what I saw before that is not the norm. Any more than I know what this is the norm.
If you had to guess what going, you know.
I'm going to guess Gronk is going to continue to do what he does.
Right.
And Amendola is going to go back to catching four or five passes for 50 or so yards. And that's what I'm going to guess.
And that's the norm.
Key third downs.
That's to me is
the norm. That's okay.
Yes.
Maybe it is.
That's okay.
But it hasn't been okay all year offensively. So if it goes back to that, maybe it won't be okay.
Now, if Aaron Dobson can continue to make incredible circus catches for touchdowns and long gains, then maybe it'll be okay if Amendola just has a few third down catches,
by the way. Yeah. Well, when he jumps and one goes through his groin because he jumped.
Right, but I think he's had fewer of those recently.
He's progressed.
He's good for at least one or two of those a game. He's getting better at that.
But I give him credit. You know, describe your touchdown. It was a blown coverage.
Yeah, I give him credit for being honest. I
mean, well, it is what it is.
It was.
Look, game one, he might have dropped it. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Not with that throw, he wouldn't.
It's progress.
Yeah.
It's progress. I think the whole thing, we're seeing progress. We're seeing progress with the run game.
No, but you keep
that I agree with. For a month straight, Stephen Ridley has run well.
You keep describing the progress as if this was building toward what we saw on Sunday.
But
you keep saying we're seeing progress. Sunday.
Are you seeing progress?
No, Sunday was an explosion that we have not seen in the first eight games.
So you haven't seen progress in the offense?
No, based on the week before?
The whole season?
No, I haven't. They just came off the four worst games of third down conversions that we've seen in how many years?
Yeah.
I don't know, a long time.
All right, Fred, again, if you don't want to talk about it, we don't have to. But Sunday was a whole different animal than anything we saw in any of the other eight games.
Of course it was.
So to say progress, I think they were flatlined.
I did not expect 55 points,
take the points out of it.
Yeah,
did you expect easy passing success?
All of a sudden, they looked like last year's offense, the year before's offense.
But you said you saw progress building towards that.
I had seen progress as to why I thought that on Sunday they would do well and score in the 30s.
You want to know why I'm most excited?
You take away those easy passes, and they probably would have scored in the
30s. Because the bye week is coming?
Right.
Right. No. So?
But I didn't see the progress you're talking about.
Unless you literally mean one of 12 to two of 10,
that's progress. Two of 10 is better.
And there's no way they would have even scored in the 30s without progress.
I don't know about that.
Well, Fred, they just came
I know you're going to get mad at me, but I thought that the pass defense was putrid in the first half. Putrid. About as bad as I've seen any NFL team attempt to cover this team in the era of success through the air. I thought it was horrific, embarrassingly so.
And I agree with that, and I'm not even taking that into consideration. That's why I'm giving the Patriots the credit for making Pittsburgh look bad, even though what Andy's saying is right. I don't know what they were doing, but it was not NFL defense.
Good offenses make defenses look bad.
And that's what I'm going with. They played good
Coming
offense.
In, we didn't have a good offense.
They played good offense on Sunday.
So how was it that this bad offense made them look so bad?
They played well on Sunday.
And I don't know how many different ways we can say it.
How does a bad offense, how are they capable of playing well? Maybe they're not so bad.
We'll find out, but for 8 weeks, they were pretty mediocre.
Absolutely.
Well, see, I would say they were bad. To me, a team that goes 1 of 12, 2 of 10, 1 of 12 on third down, you're bad.
I mean, they
That's a long enough stretch where you're not good on third down.
Didn't we just figure out they went from 23 to 7 in yards in
one week?
So for 8 weeks, they were 23rd, then now they're 7th. So you tell me what the norm is.
And on third down, they're still 27th, 28th?
Yeah.
I mean, they weren't a good offense coming in. They were a good offense last year. They have players who've been part of good offenses. But for 2013, There's no argument they were a good offense. They just weren't.
Now, Freddie, to get something that I know that we'll probably argue about, you know what I'm most excited about?
You weren't arguing now?
This was a discussion.
The passing. Like, that's what I've been sort of clinging to so stubbornly is you can be good. You can, like, they scored 27 against Miami with a lot of help from Miami with the turnovers, but they were able to get enough points against Miami by grinding it out. But 116 yards isn't going to win you a lot of games passing. And I'm not expecting 430 every week, but to me, the first, maybe the second time if you count Atlanta, the second time this year, they had a Tom Brady-like passing game on Sunday. And all of a sudden, he had, what, half of his touchdown passes for the season almost. Four out of nine? You know,
yeah, he had nine going in,
now he has 13. That almost, that's almost 50% of his production for the whole year. And that's what you need to do. And you don't need 55 every game, but if you want to, I'll tell you, you're going to have to get in the 30s now the way this defense is banged up, probably consistently. And the thing that I was most excited about was we saw the passing game come back because the running game is great, but the passing game is how you score points to win games. And that's what we saw on Sunday. That's the thing I was most excited about.
I agree. Yeah. But I said,
for sure you would argue with me and tell me Ridley was the difference in the game. But
like I said, but
no, he had a good game. The guy who's actually shown progression over the last month is Ridley. There is no one arguing, I don't think, that Ridley hasn't improved. He's been running well for a month.
Ridley played fine, and
I have no problem with him
getting 20 carries. I've been calling for that for a long time. But if you're going to win, you're not going to just hand the ball off and win the game.
Well, not with this defense anymore.
Well, maybe with the defense you had to start the year, you could have done that, but
right.
You're certainly not doing that anymore.
Sure.
But, and the other reason I'm a little hesitant to just stamp this offense fixed is the numbers Brady's had against LeBeau in the last four. Passer rating over 100 every time, including like 117, 125, now 151. He's thrown 13 touchdowns, no interceptions. He has it for the Steelers. He has it for LeBeau. Whatever they do, you know, going back, I think it's like a 3 or 4 year window of those four games. He's had success against them.
Yeah, what are they? Are they 4-1 the last five games against them?
Yes, he lost one of the games in which it was like 27-17.
25-17.
He didn't make any mistakes.
Yeah, he didn't play very well in that.
That was a tough game.
But he didn't throw any picks.
He didn't play very well in that game, even though he had 100.
Touchdowns. You know, his not playing well this year was completing 50% of his passes and having a rating at like 60. His completion percentage and were similar. So, yeah, this was a great jump. Now I want to see him do it against a good defense.
It's not going to – and again, they're going to come back down. This is not what we saw.
Yeah, but I'm not talking about the ridiculous numbers. Just the ability to hit the plays when they're there.
They looked like themselves.
You know, Gronk running across the field and catching it and in stride and turning – that stuff. I don't need 57-yard blown coverages. I don't need 81-yard blown coverages. Just give me some semblance of it's 3rd and 7. I expect you to get 11 yards like I used to expect
you
to get 11 yards.
They could have had 20 less points and still I would have been just as excited about that because of the way it looked, the way that they were running the for the most part, even when they got penalties, they were able to get out of that. They had a chop block penalty on Sunday. Absolutely would have ended a drive in any of the first 8 weeks of the season. No way they're converting 3rd and 14 any of the first week.
But
now all of a sudden Gronk comes across the middle 30 whatever yards later. You know, a couple more plays, touchdown.
And even though they
ended up getting stopped on that drive.
Even though they had him single covered against Shoemakers.
Ridiculous.
He looked healthy. Like, he looked like I didn't have any.
Until he got hit.
I just think that he had
put a helmet on your nuts, you're going to limp too.
No,
but I'm glad it was just that because I thought it was the knee.
I think it was actually a combination. Yeah. I think he probably got nuts and thigh or flexor.
Right.
But for the most part,
he was diving for balls, he was getting hit on the arm, he was making catches, looking ridiculously easy making those catches. He for the first time looked to me like the Gronk pre-surgeries.
Well, I felt that way after the first week. I did deem him healthy.
Well, but
the only problem was when he's triple covered, he's triple covered.
The difference to me is one guy was covering him this week instead of two and three like Miami did.
It's only realistic to think, okay, first game back versus third game back, you're going to look better in the third game. I think that's natural.
And he had a great statistical game in that first game back. But he was
two catches of having the same game. I mean, he literally could have had a massive game that first game back.
But I still think you'd still wonder a little bit about whether or not he can. Like every time he got hit in that Jets game, I was thinking, is he going to get up?
Remember all the drops he had? I mean, that game could have been up.
No, but I'm just saying
for the, ages,
the ball, you know, the one with the sun in the eyes and the one-handed catch, which right. are both makeable for him.
Yeah. Right.
That whole game looks, I mean, you're right. like, wow,
but
that
maybe in
guy
this
comes
third
right
game,
off the
he
practice.
Makes those catches. Yeah, I don't know.
But he, I mean, if he lost the ball in the sun, he lost the ball in the sun.
Right.
That's the point.
The one-handed one, though, he had
the one-handed
the whole
one,
way,
maybe
he
lost maybe he catches that today and couldn't catch it that
or
way.
Or the one where he stumbled and got to the one-yard line. Maybe that's a touchdown in week three. You know?
Could be. I just don't think that game was all that far from being pretty remarkable in its own right.
Yeah, you're right. It was.
I think it was remarkable.
And I actually might have thought a career high in that game too, you know.
Right. I might have thought it was more remarkable because they covered him instead of the Steelers just saying, "Go ahead, off the line.
Now the difference,
we'll pick you up down the field somewhere with a little safety."
The difference is, I think it was 8 out of 17 targets, and this was 9 out of 10.
Right. Yeah,
that's the difference.
It was skeleton.
I mean,
this was like a pro day when Sam Bradford completes 52 of 53. That's what this was.
But except for that, it was a real game.
Was it?
Yeah.
Somebody forgot to tell the Steelers.
Well, I don't know. It was 24-24 with like a minute left in the third quarter.
We got their defensive player of the year just running ass backwards the wrong side of the field. Maybe his hair was in his eyes.
So we're just going to skip the last hour and a half of the show. Andy has decided that the Steelers are no longer an NFL team.
All right.
Well, they're not.
Web radio at Patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline.
Preseason game number
10. Is the
Freddie? Do you want a quick practice update?
Sure.
Full pads today, the one and only day of the week.
You'll get a week off, but damn it, you're gonna earn it.
That's right. Three players not on the field. Steve Gregory, obvious.
He's thumbing.
Obvious
somewhere.
Reasons. Austin Colley.
Yeah, he had the knee injury.
He did, and wouldn't surprise me if we don't see him for a while.
Why are you rubbing your temple?
Because it's itchy, but.
I didn't know if that was.
I thought it was Collie.
Well, it was like, a concussion. Yeah. Like you were sending me
a special sign.
I thought it was like Collie code.
Yeah, like
the guy from
knee,
Temple.
But I'm rubbing my temple. You get it?
No, but I'm just saying. Don't be surprised if you know we don't see him for a while. There was a
somewhere. Kembrell Tompkins.
Who's
was,
the third guy? I missed it.
The third guy was Brandon Bolden, but I'm guessing that's not for injury reasons, and that's all I'll say about that. There was a guy on
this is the vaguest practice report you've ever done.
I have very, to, for obvious reasons, Andy.
It's very cryptic.
Is he dead? Suspended.
Let me finish the report, please.
Brandon Bolden is not out there.
I heard
but,
that.
And I'm pretty sure it's not for injury reasons. Okay. That's all I can say, Andy. There was a wide receiver wearing number 16 out there.
Kamar Aiken?
Which is, no.
Marvelous?
No.
Who was the other guy I liked?
Quentin Sims?
Dre.
What's Harrison?
Oh, name? Dre Holmes.
Yeah.
Mark Harrison?
Dre Holmes. No, he wears 13.
13.
He wears 13. It was not him.
And he's big.
This is an entirely new player who's not part of the organization.
Can you
before.
Say who he is?
No.
Are you sure,
I cannot.
Are you sure it was
Why?
A wide receiver?
Out there.
He was out there, but I can't say who he was.
Why?
Jabbar Gaffney.
No.
But you sure it was a wide receiver?
Yes.
Do you know who
yes.
it was?
Yes. I can't say.
He's so angry.
I only brought
you
it up.
Are allowed to?
It has not been announced.
Well, I know, but he was out there.
So Collie's going on IR.
Has it been reported?
Putting this together, Collie's going on IR.
Thanks, Paul, for putting the dots together while these guys keep trying to yell.
I understood that one. It's the dots on Bolden I need put together. I don't have any idea what we're talking about.
Would you be breaking a rule if you said who it was?
Yeah, probably.
Really?
Is it out? Has anyone reported
anything? No, that's why I can't say anything.
That's an obvious
rule, for God's sake.
I thought if guys are out there, we're allowed to report it.
If you know who they are.
Would you know who it was just by looking at him?
No.
He says he does.
No, someone obviously
heard something for Christ's sake.
So no one there knew who it was.
No,
never has the 53rd man on the roster.
Oh, Jesus!
He's the 53rd man on the roster, right?
I would think so.
No. I mean, like, I'm not going to care.
Oh,
who it is.
Yeah, you're not going to care.
Well, so he's the 53rd man on the roster.
According to Eric, if it's not Larry Fitzgerald, you're not going to care.
You're not going to care who it is.
Have I ever heard the name?
Maybe.
I don't know what goes on with that giant head of yours.
But it's a nobody. Okay.
All right.
And finally, there was a running back wearing number 35. No, it was not George Wynn.
No, he's on another team.
He plays for the Raiders,
George.
I believe, now.
Is it Patrick Pass?
No.
He comes back every once in a while for tryouts.
But
it wasn't Brandon Bolden. He didn't just play a numbers game.
No, it was not Brandon Bolden. And my guess is that running back is filling a practice squad role because there was an opening on the
Josh
practice
Klein
squad.
Josh Klein came up, so there
right.
was still
is
that opening.
Is it Miguel Masonette?
No.
Oh.
I think he's on a team, too.
Oh.
I'm not positive on that one.
All right.
Wow.
Wow.
So sorry, I have to be vague. But
I feel less informed than when that started.
Was Nikovic out there?
He was.
Okay.
Never.
Yes, that was a good sign for last time we saw him. I said to Andy, if the game weren't so out of hand at that point, Nikovic might have been able to come back against Pittsburgh. But okay. I'm guessing that because he had the helmet on, he was doing the anxious pacing on the sideline. He looked like he was ready to go back out there.
Right.
He was back out on the field, which is good for them.
Okay.
Forget it.
What?
Well, I was just going to – why wouldn't I be led to assume if a running back is missing and a running back has been added, that said running back who's added couldn't be on the active roster?
You could assume that, yes.
But I'd be wrong.
You could, yes.
I'd be wrong, though.
You would probably be wrong.
Hey, B.
I'm sorry. I can't say anything more than that.
All right.
We'll take a break so we can find out what it is.
Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. It's stacking up here. First is Eldridge in North Carolina, early caller. Hey, Eldridge.
Wants to know who the new receiver
is. Hey, folks, how you doing?
Good.
We got a new receiver, Eldridge.
Yeah, but we don't know who it is. I'm like, y'all, why you can't say who he is?
Well, Eric,
we are under certain restrictions.
And you're not going to get excited anyway. It's a Jag.
Yeah, you're not going to get excited, so don't worry about it.
It's a Jag, well.
It's not Fitzgerald, so don't get your hopes up.
No, but I'm more excited about the game because, you know what? Well, I had my famous Cowboys and had my famous Steelers. So when we kicked that butt, I was smiling and gloating. So I like the game. Except I agree with Paul. The first half defense scared me, but I'm glad they put it all together. But I'm happy for the win, though. Really am. Hopefully I see y'all on the 18th when you come to Carolina.
Okay.
So that's going to be a real test.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Freddie's ready for his Camaro ride.
I think, thanks, Eldridge. I think that
I don't remember really even talking about the
in Carolina the night before, this is Sunday night, there's a big rally at a place called Bikinis. So that's
just gave Eric a creepy old man look or something.
That's where I'll be. So Eldridge,
is that where you're going to, Eric? You going?
I don't know. I haven't really thought that far ahead. We take it one day at a time here, Paul.
It's a party.
It's a restaurant.
A restaurant.
Yeah, really.
And the Triangle Club, right?
The Triangle Club will be at the restaurant.
Right. So
breasts and triangles.
So Eldridge, meet me there, and then and then before you have any drinks, we'll go out in your Camaro.
Yes, that's.
I just envision you guys like somehow getting into like a drag race. Somebody's like dropping the handkerchief, and you and Eldridge
riding for pink slips.
Yeah. It's the South. It's different down there.
Let's go to Chris with a TIN. Hey, Christian.
Hey guys, that was a lot of fun on Sunday.
It sure was.
Not as much fun as the first 10 minutes of this show.
You would have thought we lost.
Andy and Fred going at it.
But listen, obviously I'm obviously like everybody else about the offense and. In particular for me, Dobson, that's progress. And we haven't seen that from a rookie wide receiver in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Putting the hand up on the 81-yard bomb, making the back throw the catch.
Yep.
To me, that's progress. So that's something you could build on.
Yeah. Even the catch itself on the 81-yarder, it looked like it was going to be maybe a little bit long.
Yep.
And he extended and held on to the ball, which to me was the most surprising part.
Yeah.
I thought he was
on
the ball.
No, because not
wow, was that far
been lowered. No. It would not just him, it would have been any receiver because that's
on that throw, on that play?
He was
uncovered all by himself, the ball hit him right in the hands.
He had to extend his arms fully, and it wouldn't have surprised me if that ball was just that pass was just a little bit too far.
I'm not going to lie.
That it might have gone off the fingertips.
If he had dropped that, I might have cut him.
Chris Price is saying number 35 is Sierre Woods.
Yes.
Okay.
Out of Notre Dame. Yes. We once had a Pierre Woods.
Yes.
This guy's mother wanted to name him Pierre, but didn't want to have a common name, so changed it to Sierre.
Okay.
I actually like him.
And he was the guy that was cut from the Texans for
Get you quick. I know you got a lot of calls. I'll let you go. How concerned are you guys with the loss of Gregory for an extended period of time?
I'm not sure we're going to be without him for any extended period of time. The report is a broken thumb, and he's got a couple of weeks before he has to do anything. I wouldn't expect to see him out of the lineup for long, if at all.
Yeah, maybe the Carolina game.
He's a strong safety now, so it's not even like he's deep center field playing. He's been banging around at the line. This will just give him a club to hit people with.
I mean, I know that we're being hyperbolic as normal, but I think Andy's right.
If he doesn't play for, like, the next two games, how concerned are you?
I'd be mildly concerned.
A little bit.
I think he's played pretty
well. Yeah.
I think he has,
too. Do you take a step up with Talib coming back, potentially, and
you're
piecing it together a little bit on defense at this point. But
yeah. And you give Harmon a little more experience.
Not a glowing report from Bill Belichick on Jaron Harmon.
I don't love – I mean,
if
he's
Tone
a
were, like, Yeah, that was, it was very telling. The way
and Field Yates asked that question too, and I think that he sort of let him in. I'm not sure if he did it on purpose, but like, the way he said it was almost, you know, like we look at it and we see, well, he said two picks the last 2 days, and the way Field said it, he goes, it was almost like, but we know that he really didn't do anything on those plays, especially this one.
Well, they were kind of wide open.
I don't think played particularly well. And he's just a rookie. He's filling in. I think he's been better than Tavon Wilson was, damning with faint praise.
Yes, absolutely.
But really tough play on that, the third and 29, third and 30 screen pass that resulted in a 29-yard gain that Andy was so worked up about.
We got to talk. That's something I wanted to address later. Now's not the time, but that was horrific, little combination of plays there. What we should talk about, I know we got the calls, but another topic to throw out there is just the front, and with Sopoaga and the three-man fronts, four-man fronts, Ninkovich and Jones at linebacker, just kind of Patricia throwing a little more variables out there as he works through
this. I think Sopoaga did okay. You know, I think that a lot of the runs went to the outside, and that might be because there wasn't a lot of room in the middle.
He held up pretty well. He did. And I think it shows creativity by Patricia to adapt not only to the personnel but to the circumstances.
Sure.
And saying, all right, we'll do a 3-4 look when he's in the game, but when you come out, we'll go back to what we're used to. And just the courage to do that, because I think that's something at midseason to try to just – for one player to completely change the way you, I mean, I know Bill likes to say, oh, it doesn't matter, 3-4, 4-3, but it does matter.
Everything matters to him, except when he tells us it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
my only flaw with it is one of the theories we sort of proposed with Sopoaga coming was that it would lighten the load a little bit for Jones and Villano. They could get some reps off.
No,
it doesn't really happen if they're playing with him and then moving to tackle when he leaves the field.
Yeah.
So that's not really.
But it was kind of like when.
And that may be.
When they tried that
specific,
with Marcus Forston. They did that with. They had I forget which game it was, a couple of games ago.
Jets, I think.
They had. Yeah, I think you're right. They had Villano and Jones with Forston as the nose tackle, and they had Ninkovich and the other Jones. But they were. Those guys.
Not Krupp.
But those guys were hand in the ground, mostly. Mm-hmm. So you had five guys.
Right.
You definitely had five defensive linemen. They were more of a stand up in.
They were definitely standing up outside linebackers.
Right.
Yeah.
And the outside running thing, twofold. A, I thought Le'Veon Bell just bounced too many that tried to take him outside, and he shouldn't because he's a big back who's trying to run like a little one. And B, though, Miami had so much success on the edges. Chandler Jones sucked last week setting the edge, and that may have been a game plan. You know, let's target this weakness. They're bad on the edge.
The other part is you're wondering if maybe in light of the run defense struggles, that they just, you know, Bill just wants to go 3-4. Because this is 3 weeks in a row now you've seen some three-man fronts. And obviously this was different with Sopoaga, the way Eric talked about, because he hasn't been here. You wonder if they just want, you know, the fact that he made that comment last week, he's the only true nose tackle on the roster since Vince has been out. And you wonder if maybe, I got to fix this run thing. And the way to fix that generally is with a 3-4. It feels like that's the better run defense. You know, again, I would go back to my stubborn ways and say, well, yeah, you're giving up a lot of running yards, but you're not giving up, you know, until this week, you haven't really given up a ton of points as a result of that. Mm-hmm. Now, it was a problem against the Jets, and it was a problem certainly, at times in some of the other games, but I didn't think it was a problem this week, and maybe, you know, I thought the two short yardage plays were big for the Soap Man.
Yep.
You know, he was involved. Not that he made the plays, but third and inches, fourth and inches, clearly there was no room inside. And even the one they got after that long screen pass on the fourth and inches.
They needed a good spot.
Yeah, well, they just barely got. I love how Fred makes it out to be a conspiracy.
It's a conspiracy. Referees make mistakes, and they made one there. That's all. It's no conspiracy. Mike in Oregon. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
I got a Steelers friend who thinks he knows everything about football, so this win was special.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, enjoy it. Tell him Dick LeBeau blows.
Oh, I will. I've told him that multiple times.
Dick LeBeau.
My question is,
Richard,
who are you more excited about having a big game? The Gronk, Amendola, Dobson, Ridley, or even Brady?
Dobson. Because he's the one that I had the most questions about.
I think Brady.
Really?
I would split it between Brady and Gronk.
Yeah.
Because those are the guys that have to have good games. Exactly. I'm with you, Freddie.
Yeah, but shouldn't you have confidence that they can?
Yeah, exactly. No, I expect them to have those kind of games.
They need to have
good games.
So
your confidence was wavering in Tom Brady.
I don't think it's any secret in my camp.
Obviously, Brady's been having trouble.
Well, not your camp. I'm talking about Fred's camp.
No, I'm saying it.
Your camp has, you know, we're trying to run him out of time.
I think he's been part of the problem.
I know that. Go ahead now. I mean, talk playoff.
Yeah, I mean, I expect.
I know we had a good game this week, so now everybody is jumping on the wagon, you know, like you.
Whoa. I've always been on the wagon.
Right. But you think then that you have validation because he had a good game.
No, actually, I don't. I just spent an hour saying that he.
No, I know, because that fit your argument today
skeleton.
With Fred.
Right. He was playing against air.
No one does the Belichick like you do. Whatever suits my argument on that day.
Yeah, but I mean, I've seen what Ridley can do. I know that what he did the other day is kind of normal for him.
Run well and fumble.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not nice.
But I expect those kind of games out of Brady every now and then. I expect those games out of Gronk. So I was most pleased with Dobson, because here's a rookie at a position where they don't normally do well cultivating those players. I was very...
You can make an argument for that. And I probably would think that way if you just removed that one asinine jumping through the groin, awkward, strange. And his post-game comments bothered me, too, when he said, you know, there was a back shoulder fade, and, you know, I'm not really...
We haven't hit any of those.
We haven't hit on those.
First one we've hit this
and
year,
I didn't know it was coming.
Yeah.
I didn't even know.
That part of it stuck out to me, too.
Wait, why didn't you know it was coming? Like,
I would have felt maybe a little differently about it if it had been a little bit at a different part of the game and not necessarily... Garbage time. I would have felt better if it was a bigger part of the game plan.
Which?
What else about Mike? Dobson's
contributions.
Fourth quarter.
All right, guys, I'll let you go. Have a great show.
Okay, thanks, Mike. Mike from Oregon. Let's go to Alex in Chicago. Alex in Chicago.
Hey, Fred, how you doing?
Good.
Hello, Chicago.
All right, well, obviously this is our best game of the season. I think having our best game of the season before the bye week is huge before we get Shane Vereen back.
Yep.
I mean, there's a lot of good things we can say about this. I wanted to get started on the good, but I would like to see Soap and Bubbles get interception on that one play where he tipped the ball.
Yep, that would have been awesome. Yeah.
That would have been awesome to see Belichick trade for a guy and then him have an interception the same week, but that's all right.
He might have even scored on the play.
I also wonder, if you were betting, would you have bet that the only way he'd show up on the stat sheet was a pass defense? Because he had nothing else.
No tackles. Yeah.
But, yeah, I really think this game puts a dagger in the whole Patriots-Steelers rivalry, you know? There used to be a time where I would get the schedule and circle the Steelers week. I don't think I'm going to do that anymore. You know, I don't think they're going to be that competitive with the Patriots anymore. I think it's going to be a lot one-sided now.
Well, they're in trouble based on, you know, the who do we have on the pregame social? Some guy.
Allen Robinson.
You know, talking about how the cap
is that right,
hell,
Kevin?
They've only been able to draft, even this year, to sign their draft picks. They had to make some moves. Like, they have not been able to restock and kind of make personnel decisions the way they want to in recent years. That's problematic. And then I would also, you know, I'm kind of joking about it, but if Dick LeBeau is kind of past his prime,
right,
that's been the heart of that defense and that franchise for decades. So if that's true, I mean, I don't necessarily see Mike Tomlin. I mean, he's the guy as a defensive coach who, you know, wouldn't adjust when the Patriots were spreading him out and killing him in Minnesota. So you might have some kind of issues there in big picture issues in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, and one stat I like after the game is that Aaron Dobson has 13 catches left and 36 yards to be the most productive rookie wide receiver under the Brady era. 36 yards.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. And he's going to get there.
But if you were to count all his drops, he would have been there already, but that's all right.
Yeah. But that's part of the problem. Right.
This is very Andy-like call.
Thanks, Alex.
Yeah, it's like, is he excited or not?
Well, he actually said, you know, a lot of good stuff happened, but I won't get to that.
Yeah.
Gloss over right all that. To the negative.
Let's go to Andrew in Buffalo. Hey, Andrew.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
That's good. Yeah, it's a good week this week. Happy with the win. I thought they fought really well on the field. Dobson, he's unbelievably making good plays this year. I'm starting to really like him right now. But I want to talk about that offensive line. I don't think they did a great job, maybe a good job, but they still gave up three sacks. You can't, you know, you got to get really better at that, you know, towards the end of the year. It's still an issue. I've seen Brady even getting hit after releasing the ball. Dante Hightower letting that ball hit him in the helmet, not getting his head around.
Yeah.
I just want y'all to elaborate on that. Like, with his ability not to make a play on the ball while in coverage. That's his best coverage of the year that I've seen him have. and he still didn't get his head on the ball. I think he should have been all, come on, man, on Monday night.
I don't really agree with
that. I thought those were some really good plays of coverage for him.
I mean, asking an inside linebacker 25 yards downfield or 20 yards downfield to play like a corner and play the ball. And I mean, it was just last year we were asking Devin McCourty and those guys, how come you guys don't play the ball? And that's what you do. You cover
and
24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
And they tried that play at least three times that I can think of. Hightower had it covered very well twice. Dane Fletcher got run by by about 6 or 7 yards, and the throw was off. And Fletcher is a much more smaller, quicker, coverage-type linebacker. And I thought Hightower actually did a good job on those two plays, on those wheel routes by Bell. Now, I know Bell's not Reggie Bush.
Plotter.
You know, he's a bigger back.
Plotter.
But I can't fault him for not having his head on a swivel there and being able to make a play on the ball. That's not what, you know,
especially where he's 270
pound linebacker.
I mean, he's been struggling just to stay with guys. So for him to think, you know, I'm in, because when you turn your head, you have to have the confidence that you're still running stride for stride with the guy.
Right.
And he struggled so much running stride for stride. I think that's his prime, stay with the guy at all costs.
Yeah. Even we saw that on the Dobson 81 yarder. Ryan Clark came over to try to help out. And when he saw Dobson put his hand up, he turned around to look back at Brady, and that slowed up and gave Dobson some time.
Watch that play again and watch the, you know, not to sound like Damon Amendolara on the old Sports Hub guy, but watch the compete level of Ryan Clark on that.
Oh,
play.
Yeah, he gives up at
he
the very end.
He completely stops.
Stops. Like runs out of bounds.
The last 40 yards just lets him
when all
go.
Your other teammates are, why not?
It was, but, I mean, it's rare that you see a guy blatantly quit on a play like that.
Yeah. And it's also rare that you have a coach address his team quitting in postgame saying, we're going over this with a fine-tuned comb, and guys that gave up are not going to be playing. Yeah. I mean, you hardly ever see that type of admission, especially in a game
that he was embarrassed.
It was competitive a quarter and a half earlier. It was a 24-24, 27-24.
That to me was the interesting part. If Pittsburgh at 2-5 went in the locker room and said, we're down 14 here, because the Patriots stuck a dagger with 10 seconds left in the first half. Yeah. To go up 24-10.
Well, that's another old school Patriot, by the way. Score right before the half and
right.
kill somebody.
And that, those
Foot
are the
on
things,
a throat.
Those are the things that I was really excited about. But it would be one thing at 2-5 if you just said, you know what, we're on the road, we're going nowhere this year. We were competitive for a little while, but they really killed us there with that drive. We're down 14. They got the ball to start the second half. We're done. But instead, they come out, they force a turnover with a really, really good play by Polamalu. They get themselves back in the game. They tie it up at 24. And then they give up a field goal, and it was like, okay, well, we made a run. That's it. And we were all joking about it. It's kind of like cliche when you just say, wow, have they quit? But evidently, we weren't the only ones that thought it, because the coach ripped them in the post-game press conference. Clearly, he saw the same thing that we all saw as layman from the press box. Yeah. You know, LeGarrette Blount just running up the middle, in, you know, no one tackling him.
Man, no whistle being blown either.
it was about as long as I've seen a guy not move without a whistle being blown, and all of a sudden he's in the end zone.
Laquan Williams, Eric, is that the name you are familiar with?
Laquan?
Yes, the one.
That is the wide receiver the Patriots have signed, according to a league source via Ravens Insider.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Who
Laquan.
Is he? Can I get some more info?
Former Raven.
Laquan.
And
from
his last
where?
Name is Williams?
Or
Lewis? Williams.
No, Williams. There was a Laquan Lewis cornerback who was here
right?
during
don't
summer.
Don't scoff at me.
Yeah.
A lot of crap.
But who
on.
Is he? Like,
a lot of crap going
don't know
on.
Much
or as
about
Belichick
him.
Would say,
all I know
lot,
is he was with the Ravens.
As Belichick would say, Andy, a lot of crap going on
right.
up here. And
that was good. I was rooting for the swear. He's never done that, to my knowledge.
Chris from Toronto here. Writes in on webradio at pages.com. Nice try in the question at the Belichick presser, Paul. Predictably, Paul Bill didn't bite, but at least you asked it and didn't just go to glower at him like Eric does.
What does glower mean?
He's kind of, you know, give him bad looks.
I don't think
looks.
Eric does that.
You don't glower at Bill?
No. I've never noticed that.
What's
Bill glowers at all of us.
Yes, that's
I just
true.
Asked. Well, he was talking. He made a couple of different references.
Bill,
to
you're
going to
pass
of
out.
Recharging the batteries at
oh,
the
right.
bye.
Oh, that was your question?
About Fox and Kubiak.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh,
if okay. it caused you, you know, basically my question was, did it cause you to pause and
right.
step back a little bit, reevaluate?
No.
No.
He didn't. I thought it was curious, too, that he didn't even say, you know, my thoughts go out to those guys. I hope they get better quickly.
That was another part of why I asked him a question. I thought it'd be kind of a softball. But
yeah. It was strange.
Looked at you like you were crazy, Paul.
Yeah,
apparently
he
doesn't like Gary Kubiak.
He did. And Fred, our comment after the game on Sunday, I think, is probably accurate about that situation. We'll leave it at that.
Another vagary we can't talk about.
Oh, this is a terrible radio show if no one says anything.
It's two teams that we're playing, right?
Yep. Well, yeah. Oh, that's not even what I was talking about. But yeah, but that's that. I mean, that's a stunning coincidence. That that stuff never happens.
Laquan Williams is a former, the former University of Maryland and Pauley player. What does that mean?
Maybe a high school in that area.
Oh, so he's a local Baltimore guy. For his career, Williams has 4 catches for 46 yards. Touchdown against the Bucks for the Rams.
Do you think Tompkins is dealing with something?
Don't know.
Like, what is the like the sudden need?
Wasn't on the injury report.
No, I know.
Well, Austin Collie.
I didn't necessarily say.
Yeah, I mean, how's Austin Collie?
No, I know, but they felt the need to bring in Collie as they were getting healthier. And then suddenly he zips past KT, as they say.
Yeah.
And now as soon as Collie goes out, well, we got to get someone. Like, it would seem to me like.
Where's Boyce?
Yeah.
It would seem to
me
like.
Boyce, who's been inactive. You have Tompkins, who was inactive.
Dobson is playing better than he has all year. Amendola looks like he's going to be okay. Why
the urgency? Why the sense of urgency at that position?
Yeah, I mean, it's the bye week, and you got to get a receiver in here to fill the 5th/6th spot.
Yeah.
Do you think that's odd at all? No?
Maybe.
He's not on the injury report.
No, but I agree. Dealing with something. I don't necessarily mean health-wise.
If they had a game this week, I would say no. I mean, they want to fill out the roster, but to Paul's point, they have a bye week coming up. You're having one practice. Can you get away with not having one extra receiver there,
right?
It
seems like there's some urgency there.
Yeah.
Like, we need to get someone in here because we can't trust Kembrell Tompkins to be the 6th receiver or the 5th receiver
at
or
practice.
Whatever he is at this point.
Yeah.
And forget about Boyce. I mean, he's like in witness protection
unless,
at this
point. Amendola's still on the injury report. Gronk's still on the injury report. Maybe they think that we're one catastrophic game away from having no one.
Yeah, but they have a bye this week.
To me, when that happens is when I would go out and get Laquan Williams.
Yeah.
Like if I have a catastrophe.
Right. And
it doesn't seem like he's in case of.
I mean, how far he's fallen from number one receiver to.
Yeah, he was just catching the game-winning touchdown.
My other side of that would be.
I'm not trying to
make a conspiracy. While he was the number one receiver, we said we think he's a year away from being out of football. He wasn't that good. He was given a lot of opportunities, didn't make the most of them, and struggled.
And I guess that's what I'm
saying. I would say that's what they saw. He's not that good. There's a chance that they've decided he plateaued. He is what he is.
And that's what I'm saying, like maybe dealing with something.
I don't consider that dealing with something. I thought you meant something. Like,
no,
I thought this was another vague thing we couldn't talk about on the show.
I don't have a vague thing, but it could be anything. I mean, he has had a laundry list of problems in his past. Maybe something like that has popped up, and they just don't think the guy's reliable. I don't know.
Okay, that would be dealing with something.
That's what I'm saying.
Is Brandon Bolden dealing with something?
No.
Eric's
leave Brandon Bolden alone.
Just stop asking questions.
I'm close
please.
To getting all the information. I got the running back, Sierre Wood. I got Laquan Williams.
You won't get the information.
Is anyone going to get the information?
No one's going to tweet that one?
Oh, God. Chris from Toronto also writes.
Is it bigger than a bread box?
I will talk to you after the show about it.
Chris from Toronto also writes in about the press conference. Says, I watched the press conference via Patriots.com homepage. I'm not sure if you guys are aware of this, but the camera seemed to stay on with audio well after Bill left. I could hear, among other things, a conversation about a hockey player laboring away in Dallas, a couple of utterances of Andy's giddy laugh, as well as several F-bombs, all of which were dropped by non-PFW staff.
Yes. Because Andy and I got right out of there. That means they were talking about you. If they were talking about your laugh, we left
right away. He said he heard my laugh.
Yeah, he heard the laugh.
Oh.
And then we left.
I thought they were making fun of you.
The F-bombs weren't us. That's fine.
Alex writes in from Philly. Fred, you were right again. You said this offense would get better with health, and it seemed that way on Sunday. Gronk looked like Gronk. Ridley was a beast, barring the fumble. Dobson made big plays. Amendola survived the game while making big plays. However, can the injuries on defense please stop? Hopefully the Ninkovich and Gregory injuries are not serious and get better after the bye. Speaking of the bye, now is the time to put Amendola and Gronk in bubble wrap until we get ready for the Panthers. Injuries and defensive struggles aside, it was a great win as the offense finally broke through. Looks like all that whistling past the graveyard finally paid off. Thank you, Jim Nance.
I don't necessarily agree with Amendola, but I hadn't thought of Gronk's got 7 days.
And
Lord only knows where and what
extra long
be doing.
Bye week. You got the
Monday night
not only
game.
It's a bye, but it's a Monday night coming back.
He is Yeah.
It's an extra Saturday night.
That's one of the ones where I'd worry.
Well, I was just laughing like you put him in bubble wrap until the Carolina game. Well, they don't play until then. I mean, we really had to go some to get them hurt between now
and
then.
You're in Tampa. Get your cell phone ready.
Speaking of Jim Nance, there was a sack during the game, and he just listed off 5 guys until he got to the right guy. And I said, Jim Nance is just going to list names until he hits the right guy.
Was it the Fletcher one in the fourth quarter?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
That's funny.
Warren Ladd says, can we cancel the Rookin show and have 4 hours of PFW show because there's no nitpicks?
No. Yeah, there are. But we have a TV show to do.
You missed the first 15 minutes of the show.
Hour isn't really a nitpick.
No, it's just no
argument. It's not like a specific mistake. Let's talk about the Ridley thing. Were you surprised at how quickly and emphatically Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels just credited that as a Troy Polamalu play, move on, good defense, blah, blah, blah?
Was I surprised? Maybe a little. Yeah.
I was a little surprised. Yeah. Not necessarily that they put him back in. I think you need him. I think you found, for this offense, you want Ridley to be out there. So to put him back in on the very next play, handed on, not surprised, but the way they came out and outspokenly said, you know, they make plays too on defense, basically, I didn't think that was any particularly...
That was not a
superior football play.
I didn't think it was a terrible fumble, though.
I didn't think it was terrible, but I didn't think it was a great play. Maybe. I don't think he should have fumbled, would be my... If you ask me, should he have fumbled on that play? He didn't get knocked out. There was no reason that he should have ended that play without the football.
I would feel differently if the same exact tackle caused a fumble on a handoff. But to me, the fact that he had just caught a pass and probably hadn't
secured
the ball gives me a little bit of wiggle room. Now here's the
you're
other
an easier
question.
Grader than I am.
Well, obviously, because you don't even give him high grades for 610 yards of offense on Sunday.
Right.
So clearly,
Ridley had a great game.
Clearly, I'm against Ayer.
Clearly, I'm a high grader.
The run game did not play against Ayer. Stephen Ridley earned his yardage.
But no,
the run
yards
game played
it.
Against the 31st ranked run defense.
Right.
To go with your thing.
Right.
Wait,
what was more awful, their run defense or their pass defense?
The pass defense.
Thank you.
Was no question worth. I mean, they were guys just running wide open.
That's as bad as
it was miserable.
I don't want to beat the dead horse. That's as bad as I've ever seen it. I mean, with a competitive.
The Patriots made them look as bad as you've ever seen.
No.
I'd love to be able to say that. No. I just can't, Fred. And another question in that light. Amendola doesn't score. Is that because of the groin?
Oh, yeah.
Well, what did Fred.
He says it so definitively.
What did Fred yell at the time? When did he get his piano off his back?
Yeah,
right. I got like mid run. Right?
I'd hope so. I would hope so because one of the things we said is he's more dynamic, more top end speed
We've
than
seen
Welker.
Him fat. We've
oh,
seen
yeah.
him run fast.
Yes. Yeah, you're not going to see him again.
Not this year, at least.
You guys both said that you were mildly surprised that he went right back to Ridley. Do you think he would have had Vereen been available?
That's a good question.
Well, but the other guys are available.
Yeah,
a good question.
He knows what the other guys are.
Yeah, I think he had no choice.
But I think
I think that's part of it.
I think the quote may be more of a positive reinforcement.
Well,
to help the running back mentally.
Why didn't Ridley speak postgame?
I think he was probably afraid that the questions were going to be all about the fumble.
But he's done that before. And
one of the things I admire about
maybe
him,
they
actually.
Told him, look, you know what?
Maybe they told him,
don't,
you're going to get questions about the fumble.
Don't
even
want
bother.
Him thinking about the fumble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I was just,
that might be,
all the various pieces.
I think
pieces
Fred might have it right there. They don't even want him talking about the fumble because even though he's a stand-up guy, he doesn't need to be thinking
right.
that he did anything wrong.
But you know what? Here's the thing.
The media looking to pump him up. They don't want him even thinking about it.
That's true.
That's a different approach.
They sure do. But it's not like the next time he speaks, somebody's not going to bring it up.
Well,
I mean, they do have some short-term memories in this media corps, but we have
long-term memories.
But
here.
When you talk about Ridley, that's a history with him.
Us.
Fumbling is something that's always part of the story with him, whether it's overcoming the fumbles or dealing with fumbles
back.
Again. Right. So no matter when he talks, whether it was post-game or a week from now, it's going to come up.
I just think it was treated a little differently by the team.
It absolutely
so.
Was.
I don't know what
but
to
I think
make
Fred
that.
Might be onto something. I think it may have been treated differently because they didn't want him even talking about
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
And why is that different than past?
We put transcripts out. The whole recording is up on, patriots.com. And maybe the team thinking was, we don't even want that part of the post-game dialogue.
But that's a change. That's my point.
Well, yeah. I mean, that whole game was a change. From this year.
Yeah, but this is like a change from, more of a...
Yeah, I don't know. I can understand if that's the reason why they did it.
I can understand it. I just, I think it's a little different.
I do, too. I was very... Because Andy and I were talking about, how we were going to cover the game afterwards, and our first thing was, well, let's do Ridley as a lead note because
he ran well,
talks,
he fumbled well,
he always talks.
And he always talks. Then he
he's
comes out the locker room and he's like,
guy.
No, guys, not today. And he couldn't wait to put his shirt on and run out the door.
And then he dropped his bag in.
No, stop.
Peter in Maryland, major difference I saw.
You're a bad guy.
Peter says, major difference I saw and believe contributed to the offensive explosion was that Brady, with making both quick reads and quick releases, it was smooth. The hesitancy displayed in the pass was missing Sunday.
It's because the guy he was looking for wasn't covered.
Right. I mean,
it's
that's
easy to throw quick when the
guys those guys got open.
Him. And there was nobody banging Gronk at the line.
Yeah, I mean, nothing. Even Dobson on that long play, one of the reasons he didn't get a jam at the line of scrimmage.
You know, last week I talked about an early third down play. It was a third and two that, you know, Brady had like a three-step drop. He hit that back foot, and you know that ball's supposed to be out, and he looked and obviously didn't like what he saw, and then Jared Odrick just killed him, and he ends up getting sacked. And everybody looks and says, oh, they got to protect Brady. And I don't necessarily think the protection on that particular play was designed to give him much more time than he got.
Right.
But for whatever reason, it wasn't there. The timing wasn't there, or the route wasn't right, or the guy just didn't win his battle and get open. On Sunday, guys were wide open. So Brady was able to get rid of the ball quickly. And you know, I know a lot of people made big deals of his decisive, the post-game press conference, decisiveness. Decisive decisions.
Decisive decisions.
Decisive decisions, I think was the term. It's kind of like when we say they have deep depth.
Steve in Texas, the progression of the offense was great to see, but while Fred feels we will be just fine, I still have some concerns.
Thank you.
This was the first game of the season where it seemed like Brady was able to have rhythm and have the receivers where he expected them to be. Both sides of the line are suspect and unable to exert their will. Passes are still being dropped, and as already mentioned, third downs are still something where production has not happened. All things being equal, 7-2 feels good, and knowing if the season was to end today, we'd be the second seed in the playoffs is good. Finally, the bye coming when it has will be
the
key,
third seed, wouldn't we?
Second.
As we have players
Denver
returning
the second seed.
That will have major impact as we grind through the rest of the schedule. So to come full circle, and Belichick, it will. I will join. And Belichick, it
and Fred will learn
I
English.
Will join Fred in saying we'll be fine. Okay.
Yeah, certainly this week you should feel good about being a Patriots fan. You're 7-2. You're coming off your best win. And the rest of the league still blows. You watched every team either lose or struggle.
Yeah.
I mean, Seattle, you're dominant at home. You couldn't, I'm in a dogfight. Right. Oh, you know, Kansas City, I'm in a dogfight. Oh, I'm coming back. Oh, I need guys to throw me the ball right. I mean, I don't know how you could feel any better about the Patriots right now, given the struggles we've seen early in the year. I mean,
Yeah,
you'd
true.
Like to be a better team,
right.
But I don't know, with sort of the circumstances, you couldn't feel much better.
Yeah,
and that whole thing with, you know, what were the numbers there? They've gone 8-0 over the second half four times, 7-1
three times. A couple other times, yeah.
I mean, they're always better over the second half, and despite sucking at times, literally sucking, they've put themselves in position to win, who knows, 13, 14
games.
And
some of the games that you thought would be challenging are against teams that are just in complete and utter disarray.
Yeah.
And by the
way, Houston, Baltimore, two road games that I thought would be difficult
now,
before the season
Carolina's
started.
Playing a little bit better maybe than some people thought.
Well, yeah,
so that could be a tougher game.
Yeah, but I don't think that's
the middle of the.
I don't think that game is much tougher than I thought it was. Whereas those other two games, to me, especially
much easier,
especially the Houston one, without their coach now.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
And you know, you laughed at me last week, Fred, when we talked about the Denver thing, and I said, well, you know, a lot of things can happen between now and then. Well, you know, I didn't envision the coach having heart surgery, but that's a thing that could happen.
Right.
And I'm sorry, I know a lot of people like to just make light of this stuff and just say, well, because Chuck Pagano got sick and the Colts ended up having a great year, that's what teams do without their coaches. More often than not, it affects the team negatively.
Look at the
Saints. Negatively, when you lose your coach.
Yeah, absolutely.
You guys always make fun of me for saying the league blows and there's nobody that's good and blah, blah, blah. I click on Sports Reporters, I think. That was the topic of, like, the first 10 minutes of the show was how bad the NFL. And I believe Bob Ryan's line was, a one-eyed man is going to win the Super Bowl this year. But that's okay. You still get a Super Bowl ring. That's how I feel. Another flawed team is not. And he said, every year in the last couple of years, it's been the same way. And at the end of the year, you have six or seven teams kicking themselves because they know they're as good or better than said team that won the Super Bowl. Mm. It's not like this great team won. And the Patriots are in position to be among those teams that either win it and you say, well, they're not great, but they won it, or kicking themselves because a play here or there and they didn't win it.
I was thinking in the NFL in particular, and in particular the high-priced players, do you think that there's a tendency once it's pretty obvious your team isn't going to compete for playoffs to kind of shut things down in the NFL with an injury or whatever? Are we seeing more and more of that?
With individuals or
as
a team?
Individuals. which then, of course, affects the team.
Have we seen more of it?
Yeah.
I don't. I think that is absolutely a thing. I think that absolutely happens when teams are out of it.
But I don't know if we've seen more of it.
I don't know if it's.
Really?
I don't know. I don't have the numbers. But
I don't either.
I definitely think that what you're saying is valid. I think that happens a lot.
And it's really bad for the league, you know? It really is.
I think guys don't want to play through injuries when they're 3-6.
Exactly.
You know, let's put it that way.
Why shouldn't I preserve myself? And that's why I mentioned particularly the high-priced players who have contracts that I know I'm not going anywhere next year.
Yeah.
Now, if you're in the bottom of the roster, yeah, you're playing for a job every day. But some of these guys, I think once their team's out of it, why should I risk it, you know?
Yeah, then the problem is what if you're a veteran who's pretty good, who's in the last year of his contract, and you're on a bad team?
Right, yeah.
Do you want to keep playing hard to try to get that new contract, or do you want to preserve yourself so that you're healthy for your next, you know what I mean?
The nature of the game makes that, I think, more of a decision that an individual has to make, you know? Dylan writes in, he says he's a Bears and Patriots fan in Illinois. He says, I've been listener for a little over a year now, and I just wanted to write in to let you know the good work you do. A lifelong Chicago Bears fan, I started listening to your show over the years because over the years, I developed an interest in the way the Patriots as a team operated. The Patriots always just seemed smarter than the other teams. True. The way they the way they coached and the way they usually seem to be one step ahead of the opposition has always been fascinating. Even seemingly small things like using the direction of the wind, as we saw 2 weeks ago, to take advantage of situations, is something that to a guy who grew up with the meathead Bears is kind of amazing. The point here is that all of this is really fueled by the PFW podcast, because when I first started looking for things to read or listen to about Patriots football, I stumbled on your podcast. I did an iTunes search, and I've become hooked on the banter, the analysis, and I've become a huge fan of Fred. Fred is the glue to the podcast that keeps everyone on a roll, cracking jokes and talking about all the Patriots news. I realized at some point that all of this interest in the Patriots I was looking forward to the Patriots games more than the Bears. My friends even noticed I won't stop talking about the Patriots.
Traitor.
Ooh. So I'm writing to let you know it's official. I'm a Patriots fan, thanks in part to PFW.
Again.
We're converting people.
Add that one to the ones we send to the front office.
Yeah. Right. This is all very irritating to my wife, who is from Baltimore and is a Ravens fan, something I've never been able to fully support. I had to eat a turd burger last year when I rooted too hard for the Patriots in the AFC Championship game. So, and he actually sends a picture of the turd burger. It's a real. No, I'm only kidding.
Wow. Wow.
And he was like interested all of a sudden.
Well, I was in like that gross kind of way.
Oh.
If his imagine that relationship if his wife made him eat poo.
Some
I had an idea, by the way.
Kind of a fetish.
How about divorce insurance?
What about it?
Is there such a thing?
It's called a prenuptial.
But I was thinking more like you could actually buy a policy, and if it ends in divorce, the one who
initiates it
doesn't get any money. The one who gets divorced gets kicked out gets the money. And it would
trouble
be,
at home, Andy?
No. But I was thinking it would be a way to keep marriages together, because you're not going to want to be the one to file for divorce because the other one gets the payout.
Well, but if the marriage really is that bad, why would you want to keep it together?
But is every marriage that bad so that more than half of them end in divorce? I think people just take the easy way out. There's no dedication. There's no stick-to-itiveness.
Well, that's
partly
this
true.
This would be a reason to give them stick-to-itiveness.
Yeah.
You don't love it?
I don't.
Soap with a slot in that range?
Much better. Marcus is in Miami and on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Marcus, are we getting food today?
Hey, guys, what's going on?
There
I think divorce insurance is the smartest thing I've heard all year long.
Oh. Right
now in November.
Wow. It's been a slow year for you.
Yeah, it's been a slow year.
He has some other ideas about airplane flying in loops.
Radar airplane. I'll drop that one on you another day.
Yeah, we'll take a look at that. I had a couple of questions. I see we just picked up a new receiver. What's going on with Mark Harrison and Josh Boyes to where
nothing.
We just signed someone and now we're not even using the guys that on our roster you know, the Mark Harrison thing? Like, what do you guys think about that?
Yeah, that's a good point because, as Paul and I were saying before, if this were a game week, you could maybe justify the urgency to get somebody at that position to fill a slot. Okay. But they're going into a bye week. Do they really need the urgency to fill one practice with a wide receiver? You know, could you have gotten by one day of the week without that player at practice? And, you know, the clock has, well, it doesn't have to start, but the clock you're expecting to start on Harrison to come off of NFI at some point. Maybe you just wait the week and maybe start it next week for him.
I don't know,
it's a good point. I have to think that they don't have much confidence that Harrison is going to do much for them, or that Boyce, who they've seen enough of,
could they be so nefarious as to just sign this guy to keep him from another team that they thought was interested in that is playing next week? I don't know.
Quick injection, but Patriots have released wide receiver Austin Colley, according to Field Yates.
They've released him.
Oh, flat out released?
That's what Field Yates is saying on Twitter.
Okay.
All right. So Austin Colley no longer a Patriot.
Okay. Good thing I didn't do that getting to know last week.
What do you think about Shane Vereen and how he looks going? Is he more Randall Cobb-ish, or is he more Percy Harvin-ish for our team going forward?
I really don't like either one of those comparisons.
I think
he is a good, a very good receiver for a running back.
I think he's a poor man, Marshall Faulk.
I think he's more in that mold than like Percy Harvin. Yeah. To me, is a
he's more of a Hall
is
fan.
Not a running back.
An incredibly dynamic athlete,
but I don't see him as a
I don't
ball
see him
carrier
like that
full time.
Yeah.
Whereas
no.
Vereen, I could see carrying taking some carries.
Vereen is a true third down back with some first and second down capabilities, I would say.
Yeah.
Like, he has the hands. He can create mismatches on the outside. We've seen that a number of times. Double moves, make mismatches there, more so than Danny Woodhead, more so than Kevin Falk, in my opinion. And unlike those guys, I think he also has more so first and second down capabilities to just run the ball if you need him a little bit. Like Paul said the other day, if Shane Vereen were there, maybe he'd take... Did somebody just burp?
I did. It wasn't really a burp. It just kind of came from
it resonated from your chest cavity more than your mouth.
But you see how you can hear it when you're...
But his was actually coming out of his mouth. Like, you could hear it like it
was
a cave.
And we can hear them when you do them, too.
But he might have gotten that next first down carry. So I think Shane Vereen is... And we are the boosters of the Shane Vereen Club.
I'm guilty of that.
He gets hurt all the time, and yet we don't label him Danny Amendola, and we don't have him in bubble wrap. We have him as Marshall Faulk. I kind of throw Marshall Faulk out there, and Fred goes, yes, exactly.
Who was the other guy you compared him to?
Poor man's Marshall Faulk.
Marcus?
Right, but he doesn't listen to that part.
Randall Cobb or Percy.
Oh, Randall Cobb?
Percy Harvin. Yeah, I mean, they're both fast or small guys. That, you know, I remember that one play in Thanksgiving where Brady threw it to him in the flats or whatever, and he just ran down the sideline. Obviously, there's no one that touched him.
And Vereen, Vereen is not...
He's not a
not
small...
Percy Harvin
no,
small.
No. And Randall
he's
Cobb
also
is,
not Percy Harvin fast.
Well, right. No.
Or dynamic.
I'd say he's a little bit better than Kevin Faulk.
He's about 210 pounds, right?
He's a stocky guy, for his size.
He's a very good pass receiver for a running back. He's not a wide receiver.
No.
No,
I'd say he's more. I'd compare him more to Kevin Faulk than I would to those other guys.
And he's not quite as athletic as Marshall Faulk. He's not quite on that level, obviously. But in terms of the versatility of an offense, being a three-down guy who can line up wide, I think Marshall Faulk is a fair comparison in just type, not necessarily skill and all that.
I would agree. Thanks, Marcus. Marcus from Miami.
I actually thought he meant was it Cedric Cobb?
Oh, that used to be
Cobbs.
Yeah, I was thinking. I don't know. I haven't seen him run backwards. Because remember when I fell in love with him, watching him run backwards in rehab? I was like, look at that guy. He's jacked.
So
he runs backwards.
What was the deal with food? They had pizza.
Pizza
was at any.
Pizza was at noon.
I'm
I think he just left
to
go try to get
ran
some.
Down there.
We got
to
do the show. We're not going to have time to eat. It's
you're wasting away.
Paul's leaving.
There's noises just exploding out of your guttural regions.
Like my stomach is growling.
Oh.
Simon from Thetford in the UK. Sorry if you've spoken this already, but with Vereen back in training and eligible to return against the Panthers after the bye, do you see more time on the sidelines for the likes of Boyce and Tompkins, or do you think Washington's time is done? I'm really excited to have Vereen back in the mix. I think he can be a real difference maker in the offense, especially if they continue to grow like this week.
Boyce and Tompkins didn't even get time on the sideline this week. They got time in the luxury suite on top watching the game.
Yeah, it's really disappointing. You know, the beginning of the year when we said, oh, you know, if Dobson and Boyce, the guys that they drafted, can at least we expected them to at least be contributing on a rotational basis, very least.
And I find the thing weird is I didn't think Boyce would be a consistent guy. I thought he'd be that end of the roster, come in, run deep, run an end around. I've said this a lot. I'm not surprised at Tompkins as much because he was
undrafted
in a position.
Yeah.
And then I could see him getting bumped off because of guys coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I thought Boyce would always sort of maybe be a playmaking type option, maybe return some kicks. So it really now on one hand, I think he's done nothing on the practice field, and that's probably why he is up. But he's also the practice player of the week 2 weeks in a row, so it's not like he's not trying and, you know, he's not getting some work done, mostly, yeah, obviously, for the scout team.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really think any of the options that the emailer said are true. I think there's a chance Leon Washington could return kicks. Because we saw the other day, kickoffs were not as long, kickoffs were not as, you know, they were more affected by the wind. They may want a real legitimate kick returner at some point.
And I have to think that's why he has stayed on the roster this long.
But I also don't think he's an offensive option, so I don't think Vereen, like, bumps him out of any of that. If Leon Washington's on this team, it's return kicks.
Yeah,
if not, he's not on this
absolutely
team.
Absolutely. Yep.
Jeff in FLA, I finally got the courage to watch the loss to the Jets.
Was that FLA, like screw LA? You said that very funny.
Right, yeah.
Why did you say Florida?
He probably typed it in the capital letters, right?
He did capital hyphen F cap hyphen L hyphen A.
Oh,
that's FLA.
Weird.
That's how some people say it down there, because that's the abbreviation. FLA.
Just smell A.
Oh, boy.
On the first play of the second half, Quentin Copeland grabbed Brady's throwing hand during a pass, and the fingers were awkwardly pulled back. The next play, Brady underthrew Gronk, resulting in a pick six. Subsequent views of Brady's show him checking his hand. Clearly, he suffered a sprain. That is now much better.
Suffered a sprain.
In the game against Pittsburgh, the first quarter pass to Gronk on the goal line was not challenged by the Patriots because they were trying to avoid a challenge. When Gronk caught the ball, it hit the ground and moved slightly in his hands. Somebody on the Patriots realized this, and that's why Brady hurried to run another play.
Could be.
It's sort of a moot point, but there,
not what I saw.
There seemed to be a lot of confusion about it. There was. I thought that Gronk had gone in.
Touchdown. He caught it fine. He rolled into the end zone.
But maybe they did see the ball move. I don't know.
I don't think they had enough time to watch it over again. They ran that play pretty quickly.
I think
right
the
afterwards.
Only way you
but
do
don't
that
you
is
think it was weird that they did run that
I
play.
I did
quickly?
Because I thought it was a touchdown.
But
there
I
was
think,
no reason to run it quickly.
Well, they've had a lot of success catching people off guard.
That's
like
the
that
thing.
Running
yeah,
quick
that's
and
exactly
getting it easy.
Thing.
Maybe
when
right.
you only need
you didn't need an inch.
4 inches or whatever.
Right.
I think that's what they were doing. Yeah. Just
I'm also
to get the
I'm also surprised
off.
That the call, given where they were, wasn't Tom Brady QB sneak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe the bad hand. You don't want him
oh,
to
that's
get
possible.
Banged
yeah,
up on the
true.
Back of the hand.
No,
by
it's,
the way,
it's perfect.
It's fine.
It's perfect.
And just so
I know my
knows,
hand. Right. Like the back of my hand.
Right. Yeah. Moot, what is that?
Moot as in moot point is M-O-O-T, not M-U-T.
Is that why you almost read it mute?
Yeah, just so people
Did anybody notice in the Pittsburgh game the aforementioned right hand that may or may not be perfect? There was like a red, like bloody scar or dot or something
yeah,
on there.
Yeah, somebody said he had a scrape.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I saw that throughout the game.
I thought it was maybe a bloodletting.
That's what I thought.
They drained it.
That's exactly what I thought.
Yeah.
I swear to God. It was pretty big, too. It wasn't like a tiny little. It was a noticeable.
Yeah.
Well, what about acupuncture?
Well, that wouldn't be a big scrape.
Well, what if they did it and then it somehow got like.
But it was a huge red area. It wasn't like a tiny little pinprick.
It
was a
like
big.
A scrape.
Yeah.
A big scrape.
Maybe he just got scraped.
So I thought he was.
Could have been. But that was my first thought. Was like maybe they needed to, you know.
Maybe he had a leech
drain.
On it.
Well,
sucking
like
the,
in.
Could be.
All
right.
Andy,
we'll
no,
figure
I had
out
something
what,
important.
Okay, think about it, and we'll come back right after this break.
The word offseason doesn't exist in the NFL. Maybe for hot dog vendors and groundskeepers, but not for teams or players or fans. When the goal every year is winning it all, the road begins to be paved in February. Because there are holes that need to be filled, weights that need to be lifted, and next levels that need to be reached. Keep up with your favorite team with coverage of NFL Network 24/7 on NFL Mobile. Always having your passions with you? That's powerful. Call Star NFL to download NFL Mobile from Verizon. Airtime and messaging rates may apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Available on select smartphones. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's a sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. 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 1-800-MY-SEATS.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochere. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets. With free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether the sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
When we played at Reliant in the Super Bowl, remember how humid it got
it
at the end of
really,
that game?
Really hot.
It was very humid, and the grass got slippery. Remember
but they
that?
Take that field out, you know.
In trays,
but
they do.
But it stays out in the parking lot.
But if it goes in moist, it doesn't dry.
You're such a child.
really am. I can't help it.
I thought it too.
No,
you got to admit it.
You didn't laugh out loud.
Parts of it will stay hard, and other parts...
Jesus.
Well, the end zones were soggy.
That's another great moment from PFW in progress.
All right. I'm still chewing, Kevin. Anyway, we're back here at PFW in progress. Paul went to the locker room. Andy's here. Where did Eric go?
to the locker room as well. Paul was looking to do our TV interview. Just to give everybody a heads up what they can find on Patriots.com later, Bill Belichick already spoke. Open locker room is coming right after practice, sometime around 1:30. Tom Brady, Logan Mankins, Matthew Slater are going to the podium. I believe that's the only three. And then the assistant position coaches are going to be available to the media because the team is off for the rest of the week until next Tuesday. You know, they needed to, you know, give the Boston Globe, the Boston Herald, all these media outlets some stuff to be able to fill notebooks and things for the next week. So look for all that. I'm particularly interested in the position coaches because we don't get those, but, you know, two, three times a year.
Sure.
So that's sort of what everybody will be covering in the next hour.
So there'll be a lot of transcripts and interviews on Patriots.com today.
Any, I always like to throw this out there, especially when we have random interviews. Any questions from our listeners on position coaches? Anything you want us to ask?
Okay.
Ivan Fears or, you know, the O'Briens or anybody?
Patrick Graham.
Patrick Graham.
What, is that his name? Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Bill gave him a nice pat on the back early today about how he's kind of worked his way up here since coming here from Notre Dame.
One topic we haven't talked about, it's not Patriots, but the most interesting Patriots fan in the world wants to know, when can Paul and I start ranting about Incognito? Richie Incognito and Jonathan Martin down in Miami.
You know, the most James brings an interesting angle to this because I know a lot of times people talk about the military has similar hierarchies and whatever things you have to go through. I don't know if they call it hazing or how it's
right,
but similar to some of these team sports. And I'd be interested in his perspective.
Well, the thing is that, and you know, this isn't hazing though, because hazing is like equal across the board. Like, here's a group coming in, and everyone has to do whatever
we
it is.
We treat y'all like crap.
Right. This was bullying, because this was targeting one person, you know, for whatever reason, pleasure or whatever. You know, Incognito was getting kicks out of it. And that's not hazing.
Right.
You know, so it was different. And, you know, that's going to be my around the NFL. But, you know, basically, I think the definition of a bully is someone who, when he sees a weakness, he goes for the kill with no sympathy.
Right.
You know, like, you're not quite a bully, because I think when you see someone, like, being bothered by it, you pull back.
Like Eric.
Yeah.
I've backed off.
Right. But a bully doesn't. A bully goes for the blood. They smell blood and they go for it, and they get some type of pleasure out of it. And, you know, you can say that, well, you know, the only way to, you know, stop a bully is stand up to them. And in some cases, that's true. That's what I was taught. Mm-hmm. You know, someone's bullying you, you know, stand up to them because they don't want to fight. They just want to bully, and they'll move on to somebody else.
And isn't the story he was bullied supposedly as a kid?
Incognito?
Yeah.
Because of his weight? Maybe.
And like Eric was saying, you know, this could be one of those cases where, you know, some bullies, once they get, you know, punched in the mouth or whatever, but this kid was bullied and he could go on and learn from it, but he went the other way. He became a bully because he could once he got bigger or whatever and NFL guy. And
you know, so, you know, I do see some people saying, oh, well, Jonathan Martin should have stood up. Well, Jonathan Martin has admitted he has some emotional problems. And, you know, good for him for, you know, telling on this guy, for lack of a better word, because, you know, otherwise, you know, it's just going to keep going on. And, you know, I think he did the right thing.
And it's not even, I mean, I don't know all the details. And as I said to you, it seems like more and more comes out every day in different angles. Did he tell on him or did he just flat out walk out and then kind of in the investigation of why he walked out?
Right. He didn't.
So it's like he didn't even want to rat him out. He just said, I can't deal with this anymore. I'm out.
Right.
So you can't even really call him a rat. It's not like he was a tattletale or whatever the negative connotation would
be. And some of the evidence, it's not simple, you know, pranks. I mean, when you know, come out with racist marks, say I'm going to kill you, say I'm going to slap your wife, I know where your family lives. Right. That's not pranks.
No.
That's going over
it's
the
psychotic.
Line.
Psychotic. That's not even. Yeah. That's really over the line. But there's so many angles. Like Eric and I were talking about it upstairs. You know, he said, you know, how would this have looked differently if it was the kicker? Like if he, well, I think they would have stopped it on the team if it were the kicker. I think part of why it may not have been stopped is A, it's a positional group of all the offense, but also B, teammates probably say, well, you're just stand up to him.
Right.
It's not my job to fight your fight. You're
That's
not
true.
The weak little. And it's why I said to you, I think Jonathan Martin, if he wants to, has an interesting opportunity here to sort of be the spokesman of the bullied.
Right.
You know, because you have all these little kids who think it's them. I'm weak. I'm bad. Whatever. where this guy went to Stanford, maybe the best school in the country when you combine athletics and academics, you know, is in the NFL, is this big, you know, 300-pound guy. You know, by all accounts, this guy is, you know, the masculine
right
man, and he had problems. So I think he could offer some opportunity to young children. But then there's other parts of me that says, you know, what exactly was going on? You know, everybody wants to throw out the $15,000 that he extorted. Well, I don't know all the details, but if they all were going on a trip, that's a team group trip. We're all doing this. Well, yeah, you're contributing. Even if you don't want to go, it's kind of like the rookie dinner here.
Right.
Where they all pay for the veterans.
Yeah.
If some rookies, well, I'm not doing it. I'm not going. Well, guess what? You're not.
Yeah.
You're leaving your $3,000 to pay the tab to help us.
To me, so, that's not even part of it. You know?
No, I know, but it's just one of the aspects that people have been throwing around these words like extortion. Racketeering, extortion.
Yeah. Right.
There's just, it's again, people are trying to add real world connotation to fake world. It's what we've always said. These are teenagers who have money. They haven't had to grow up. They haven't grown up, and it's a totally different environment.
We had a former webmaster here. When we were on the road, we would go out to dinner, and we would just split the check. No, it doesn't matter what. And
right. Paul's 10 Miller Lights or my one.
Right.
It didn't matter.
It was just whatever. But, you know, this guy would, you know, he refused to do that. Because he would order, like, you know, a bowl of pudding and, you know.
And you threatened him and punched him.
So then it came to the point where he would go and, like, get pizza before he went out with us
right.
and not even be part of the bill.
Right.
It's like, whatever, you know. Right. But, I see your point. I think this went way beyond that.
It did.
And it was interesting. Teddy Bruschi did a chat with Mike Reese on ESPN Boston, and he was talking about, you know, how it was handled here. And Mike asked him, did that ever come up here? And Bruschi said that, you know, the whole rookie dinner thing got to Bill Belichick. It had gotten to like $30,000, and Belichick put an end to it. He
right.
said, this is really getting out of hand, and he put an end to it. But the thing is, if it doesn't get to there,
right.
it doesn't get an end put to. So, you know,
right.
so it somebody has to speak up.
Right.
You know?
Well, Fourier was very interesting. He was on EEI this morning talking about his various experiences. And one of the things he said, you said about the bully, his dad told him when he was going away to college, you're going to be challenged at some point. At some point, somebody is going to challenge you.
Yep.
There's a time to walk away, but there's a time where you're going to have to defend yourself, stand up for yourself, and put an end to certain things. And Fourier said it happened. A guy was bullying, whatever the term was back then, and they fought, and it never happened again. He
right.
punched him in the face. You know, it ended. So I thought that was interesting, you know, where that line is for every player and you know, the fight or flight and that whole natural. But then he also said, you know, the rookie dinners – where he has always been, it's a tradition, and yeah, it sucks as a rookie. But no one was a real a-hole. Like, no one would order five bottles.
Right.
You had a menu, and you'd order a big, nice meal off the menu, but not do anything super.
Yeah, five bottles of Dom Perignon.
Right,
or
you know, I'm going to take seven steaks to go, or something
right,
stupid.
Right.
Everybody just had a big, over-the-top meal, but just
right.
a meal,
right.
whatever was on the restaurant menu. So,
right.
it's like anything else. At its base, a lot of these things are, I think, good-natured. But they get out of hand, and people ruin them, and they get taken to these crazy
and
extremes.
And be careful about who you're doing it to, because if it's a guy like Jonathan Martin, and he has that emotional issue,
right.
he's not going to be able to handle it
right.
as well. And
right.
you need to recognize that and pull back.
Right.
And that's what I'm saying. That's where this incognito guy is the bully.
Right.
You know, he would have been just one of the guys having fun had he recognized that and pulled
right.
back. But he looked at that as, okay, I got this guy.
I'm
going in for the kill.
But now it's the question of what was the rest of the dynamic?
Right.
What did the other O-linemen see, hear,
right.
know, do?
Right. And I think you're right. You know, it's an O-lineman. You should be able to stick up for
right.
yourself. That's the way they're used to, and it's a culture.
Right.
But, you know.
And the whole thing where I guess Incognito was on the leadership council?
The six-man leadership council, yeah.
I mean, so
Yeah.
What's the view of him within the team? Did they know he was a bully? Did only Jonathan Martin know?
Right.
Like, did you see the funny thing in the Game Day magazine where they did one of those getting to know basic things and
right.
who's the easiest teammate to scare? And Incognito said Jonathan Martin.
I don't even understand that question. How does that question come
up?
Well,
I think it was Halloween. It was a Halloween version of questions.
Okay.
Because the others were like scariest movie.
Yeah.
So it was basically who's the easiest to scare in a
right.
That doesn't look so funny now.
Right.
Like, because he's literally scaring the
and,
guy.
And
like,
he probably didn't think twice before he answered it.
Right.
Because, like, yeah.
So there, I mean, there's a lot of, like, a lot of these crazy things, there's a lot of layers to this.
There is, but at the end of the day, I think it's pretty obvious that Incognito's a bad guy.
But, yes.
Yeah.
But do you think this will change anything? You know, here, we have the haircuts, we have the watered-down fumbles, we have, I mean, are we not going to see haircuts next year?
Yeah, I don't know why we have to, like, go to extremes because of an incident like that.
Well, that's what I'm asking.
You know, I hope not. I hope that, you know, those kind of things continue if that's what the team wants to do. You know, I don't want to, like, go have a knee-jerk reaction to this. This was a bad guy going after a guy who had admittedly some emotional issues.
Right.
You know, and let's keep it at that.
We'll see. I just wonder, you know, again, we live in a litigious society. You know, if Bill Belichick, everybody knows about the haircuts. So what happens someday where somebody like Jonathan Martin, who may have some issues, is like so worked up, doesn't want the haircut, and does something crazy, and now you're seen as condoning something that led to something.
When Curtis Martin was on the team, they broke into his room, haircut night. He's sitting on his bed reading the Bible, and he begged them not to do it. And they said, you know what? We're not doing it to you.
Well, I've heard that people were afraid of that.
Yeah.
Know, like, there was a certain time, and I've heard a certain player that people were afraid of kind of leading the charge. So there was some fear. Even though, you know, we look at it as, oh, it's just a haircut.
Oh, yeah.
Tim Tebow looks like a monk and all that. You know, some guys were afraid of that.
Well, there's always ringleaders. But, you know, you read – there was a story this year on a football team, a high school football team, where the kid got – anally raped by a broom pole. What is going on?
I don't get any of that.
Who is thinking to do that, and why is everyone else watching? You know?
All the sexual stuff. I've never really understood.
I don't get that.
I thought it was supposed, like, that's not even funny any level.
But to this person, it was. So he's sick.
Well, yeah, he's sick.
And then why is everyone allowing it to happen?
I always thought part of the hazing was there was some laughter involved for the group. Like, you know, we had one where they would make like the fat kids stand up and like jiggle their bellies to music and dance, and like everybody else was laughing. Or, you know, even the haircuts. I mean, people are getting laughed. You have to go out like that. Or in baseball, they make rookies wear dresses through the airport. Like, that's not funny. That's assault, brother, as they would say. Like, that's disgusting.
Yeah.
But, you know, we've had bad incidents. If you remember, Cam Cleland, who was here after, remember he got in trouble? He had a sock full of coins. And they would make people run through, and he would beat him in the head, and he took somebody's eye out. He smashed an eye socket.
God.
You don't remember that?
No.
When he was in New Orleans, I believe.
Okay.
So, I mean, that had to have been 15 years ago, at least. And that's a major hazing incident. Now, maybe we're in a different time and place and culture, but, you know, they've had issues in the past.
Yeah.
But, or even, who was it last year that got in a fight with, was it Jason Pierre-Paul and Prince Amukamara, where Amukamara, like, they picked him up and threw him in a tub, but it wasn't really funny. It was like they were fighting.
We did that to Danny Newcomb. We put him in the laundry bin and then put the hose in there and filled it up with water.
Yeah. And so where's the line? You know, what's the line of mean-spirited and assault versus...
You got to know your audience. You got to know the guy that you're doing it to. If, you know, if they're going to have a real problem with it, you should back off.
Yeah, And we had issues with this in high school. I mean, there were certain things that people got in trouble for that were kind of violent and kind of borderline, totally inappropriate, not just stand up and shake your belly. And it's all very, like, you're going to make fun of me for this, but I remember when I was a sophomore, when they were doing hazing in training camp in football, the senior running back actually said, come here, you don't need to be doing this. And he took me out of, which, again, I don't think is fair. Now, I took the out.
Right.
I'm not Tim Tebow. I'm not falling on the sword. I took the out. But, again, that makes it a little different. You know, why is he above me? Why doesn't he, and whatever, I don't remember what we're doing.
Right.
So, like.
And see, that's the opposite. To me, that's not truly hazing then. If not everyone's doing it and it's only selective, then it's not hazing.
And not even, you know, he took me out because he thought I was going to be good and going to be one of them. And these other guys
but
are just sort of
I thought
the
hazing was making you one of them.
Right.
Because once you've done with that process, now we're brothers.
Right.
Now we're, you know, that's the idea.
That's
of
the
it.
Problem with it. A lot of it is stupid.
Right.
A lot of it is very stupid.
Right.
That's why Paul always, like, you're not even allowed to have the freshman pick up the balls or carry your pack.
Yeah, Paul takes it to an extreme. Right.
I like that, you know, we all did it. Tom Brady, see where he is now?
Yeah.
He used to carry those pads for Drew Bledsoe.
Right.
See where he is now?
Right.
I always kind of liked that, and maybe I'm old school. Maybe that's wrong of me. Maybe I'm sick. You said I'm kind of a half step from Richie Incognito. Maybe I am.
Right.
But I always liked that stuff. Like, cause it was paying your dues.
Right. It's an initiation. It's a rite of passage.
And everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, it's no different than making copies as an intern in a business.
See, I don't mind that. You know, I don't mind that.
Interns do crap jobs. Young people do crap jobs.
Right. You should work your way up. Some of these kids that graduate college, they think they're going to be a vice president in their first job. It's ridiculous.
Go get me coffee.
Exactly.
And someday you'll tell somebody else to get coffee when you've made it, when you've invested yourself.
Right.
Yeah. They think they're on third base and hit a triple.
Right. So I don't know. Yeah. Anyway,
the football wise, just looking at it football wise, they've lost two starting offensive linemen here. My guess is.
Oh, James says he's telling Mr. Kraft that we made him buy us lunch for years.
that is good. We did not. He volunteered. He wanted it. The Dolphins have lost two starting offensive linemen here, and they are very fortunate that they traded for Bryant McKinnie. You know, I talked last week about the Patriots got lucky that they traded for Sopoaga and then Kelly goes on IR. The Dolphins got very lucky they traded for Bryant McKinnie, or they would have been in deep doo-doo on the offensive line. They're in trouble as it is.
Yeah.
They would have been even bigger deep doo-doo.
Yeah. You know, I did hear some people saying that, you know, he should have kept it in-house because what he's done is torn apart the team, you know.
No. Who's torn apart the team?
Well, they say Jonathan Martinez.
No. Richie Incognito tore the team
apart. Right. Well, that's the thing.
When he took it too far. When it went from being a team building, you know, unifying thing to being an a-hole, being a psycho. And did you see all the stuff about his dad posting on message boards?
Yeah.
And they think it's his dad.
Well,
it seems like there's enough research and evidence there that it is.
Yeah. It's very circumstantial evidence, but it's like the Hernandez thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And so we now know where Richie got it from his dad.
Right. Because
his dad's an idiot too.
Well, you know, in so many of these cases, it is. You know, you're bred to be that way. You know, they say pit bulls aren't born that way. They're bred that way.
Right.
You know? John in South Carolina, I was responding to the question of I don't know. He says, help, suddenly I'm not a homer. I was responding to the question of should we be worried about our defense, and my response was yes. I said we should be worried because Tlaib has not been able to play more than 8 or 9 games in a row the last 2 years, which makes me worried about his availability for the playoffs. I'm worried because Mayo is leaving a big gap, and I don't know if we have anyone to fill it. Our defensive line has done better than I expected, but we have seen the middle of that line get pushed around. I feel as if we have to rely on Ryan Harmon or Wilson. We could see the return of the long play. Am I just being negative? People are pointing to how well we are doing at pressuring the quarterback. Is that because we are better than last year or because we are playing weak offensive lines?
Well, I'll tell you, according to Chandler Jones, who leads your team with 8.5 sacks, it's because your coverage is better. You know, he said flat out the other day, thank you to the secondary for covering. Those were two coverage sacks I had. And I think on some level, yes, the coverage, especially early in the year with Tlaib when it was really at its best, has helped out the pass rush, allowed it to get there.
Christian from Boston says Bill Belichick is a very good drafter.
But is he a very, very good drafter?
I'd just like to give Belichick some credit on his drafting ability. I know Andy scoffs at Belichick being an elite GM, but how many guys are really better than him in the NFL? Andy's own guy, Kevin Colbert, is getting a lot of criticism in Pittsburgh for the debacle that is the 2013 Steelers roster. He's got busts all over the place, and that team is lacking serious talent. I mean, look at his last draft. Even Jarvis Jones and Shamarco Thomas are looking like busts. Even Ozzie Newsome has had some trouble in the draft. Look at the Ravens roster right now. I'd say the Patriots have a lot more talent than they do. Paul was right. Belichick is one of the best GMs in the league and a very good drafter. In fact, from 2006 to 2012, no team has drafted more combined Pro Bowlers and All Pros than New England. If that isn't very good drafting, then nothing is.
Yeah.
He's right.
Yeah, I don't really buy into some of those numbers
it's
when they
true.
Do that. Because Brandon Merriweather sways that.
But
Brandon Merriweather went to two Pro Bowls.
I know, but you got
to
also
he
look
sucked.
At the other teams. And it's not, you know, are the Patriots – you got to. It's a comparison thing.
I know. And I know I'm a Kevin Colbert apologist, but by a lot of accounts, the cap guy is really bungled. Omar
Is that right?
Has that's,
cap, I thought cap was crap.
For the most part, it is, unless you're a moron.
Okay.
And, like, I mean, how many teams are in cap hell?
Not
too many.
No.
The Cowboys are one, apparently, by the way.
Yeah.
Did you see they're, like, $48 million over next year's cap. Something ridiculous.
That's great.
So, you know, keep an eye out for maybe being able to pick that roster.
Let's see. Marco writes in. He's from Mexico. Love the show even more after a big win. I know the Steelers are not the best something synod, S-Y-N-O-D.
Squad?
Maybe. But it was a good opportunity to get loose and confident on offense. I personally think Brady looks so much better aside of the numbers. The ball looked to get to the receivers with more precision and power, like the touchdown pass to Amendola. That looked that play looked like a fast forward clip. The announcers mentioned that too. That, you know, boy, that was a laser. That was
maybe
a rocket.
Maybe his hand had felt better.
Yeah,
you know, he downplayed it, but maybe that hand felt a little better, and he had a little tighter grip, a little more zip.
Yep. Bill Berry, Paul's favorite emailer, says, is it possible Bill Belichick thought Ridley's fumble was really an incomplete pass, well defended, not dropped, and that's why Ridley was not benched? And no, Paul, I'm not revising history. Tell me what is and is not a completed pass in the NFL.
No idea.
Well, that's kind of, that's his point.
Right. And also the difference between what's a completed pass in the end zone as opposed to in the middle of
right.
the field.
And Indiana Matt kind of has the same thing, but first he says, I was not surprised by the win, but the 55 points was a bit of a shock. I know the Steelers' defense was bad, but it was nice to see the offense perform to its capability for a change. It gives me a little more hope for making a run in the playoffs. Does anyone else think that the Ridley fumble was not even a catch? I did not think he even had control of the ball and had not yet taken a step. Looked to me like the defender was ripping the ball out while Ridley was trying to catch the ball. There was another play later in the game that I thought was more of a catch and fumble than the Ridley play. Cotchery caught the ball and took a couple steps before the ball was knocked loose. Just wondered what your thoughts were on these two plays.
I actually did not think the Ridley was a catch.
Really?
I don't, if he was in the end zone, I don't think he would have had a touchdown.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's the barometer. Yeah. Had that play occurred in the end zone, are you telling me you would have called it a touchdown? You would not have. You would have said incomplete pass, correct?
I don't know.
I think they would have called an incomplete pass.
I honestly don't know.
So I didn't think he secured the ball by NFL standards.
Yeah, I was hoping that that would be the case, but I wasn't like up in arms that they called it a fumble.
I don't remember the Cotchery one, really.
I remember it was a play over the middle that, and people said, how is that one not a fumble? I remember people saying that. Yeah.
It's not
it was
head.
Over the middle. Let's see. Johnny from L.A., quick question about the play of the safeties. Reese wrote that McCurdy is playing as well as any safety in the AFC. In your opinion, is that the case? Is he having that good of a year? And here's my thought about Gregory being injured. Who cares? Gregory weighs about 120 pounds and he stinks. Not a big loss. The guy does nothing. That is so wrong. Gregory's actually played well, not just in pass, but in run support. He's filled holes.
Yep. He's been like a big hitter for the past three or four
weeks. He's been
great,
which was my fear that eventually he was going to get hurt, but he's played really well this year.
Yeah, I don't understand venom.
Yeah.
They hate him.
I think you go back to Buffalo 2 years ago or whatever it was, a year ago, and he missed that tackle, and since then, everybody,
right.
He's a good player.
I like him. I think he's pretty, he's not great. He's not like a super playmaker or anything, but I think he's a good player. McCourty, best safety in the AFC.
Again, it's all relative. How many good safeties in the AFC are there?
Well, I will say, if Troy Polamalu is the measuring stick,
then
yes,
yeah,
he's the best safety
he's great.
In the AFC.
Yeah.
But I don't know. And the other factor is, I don't want to whistle past it, but they gave up a lot of plays in the passing game. I thought they let guys get behind them quite a bit. Dennard and Arrington, I thought, both really struggled. I mean, you look at it. Cotchery had three touchdowns. Brown made plays. Your guy Sanders made some plays. You know, the pass defense, in my opinion, was not overly good in that game. I mean, Ben Roethlisberger threw for 400 yards.
Mm. Christian has some questions for some assistance. For Scott O'Brien, why is Bill making you have Blunt return kickoffs? Is it for fun? Is he mocking the league like Paul Perillo and Fred Kirsch says he is? Also, what does he think about the progression of Ryan? I guess he means Logan Ryan.
Yeah.
And Pepper Johnson. Oh, no. Yeah, that's a question for Josh Boyer. What does he think about the progression of Ryan? And for Pepper Johnson, what does he think of the progression of Collins? Okay.
Interesting question.
Yeah. So,
first of all, the Scott O'Brien question, he would say, who's Paul Perillo and Fred Kirsch? I'm pretty sure he doesn't know who we are.
By the way, we've got at least three people who have written in about what fracking is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
One guy, Nathan Hackett.
Yeah.
Nathan Hackett gave me a detailed description of fracking, and he could be potentially doing some work in the fracking industry.
Well, Jeremy does. He says that he is an engineer. He's a mechanical engineer and systems engineer for a major oil and gas company. He says fracking is the process of pumping water and sand at high pressure down a drill hole to make cracks for oil and gas to flow from and prop them open. I was a skeptic on whether this was safe or not when I looked at this job or other industries. I work directly with the landowners down here, and they are more than happy with how we conduct work and the millions of dollars flowing into their pockets. I just wish I had some land that would be frackable. Also, interesting note, Kevin Cobb has a company that does frack service. His sales rep called me, but their prices sucked.
It's amazing. And did I mention, I know we talked Jarvis Green's a little bit involved in that. Kevin Falk is involved with a company that makes some sort of mechanical thing that is used in drilling wells under the sea. You know, there's a lot of players that are somewhat diversified in their investments, especially the ones who are sort of, and there's a ton of money to be made in fracking.
Oh.
One of the guys who sent me an email said that the amount of natural gas that's under this country is equivalent to what Saudi Arabia has in oil, but we have to frack to get it. And the unknown technology, they're kind of winging it. There isn't a lot of science.
I can see both sides. I mean, we should do it, but we should do it safely. And how do you do it? So that means sometimes taking your time and not rushing into it. But I think if you could do it safely, let's do it.
And what is safely, too?
Right.
That question. Like, do we drill oil safely in the ocean?
Right.
Or did what happened off Louisiana say, no, we don't do it safely?
Well, but there were things that they shouldn't, they didn't do that they should have.
No, I know. Yeah. But it's that, what is safely?
Right.
You know, are airlines safe, though they have crashes?
One thing I won't do is just take the oil company's word for it.
Right.
Because the cigarette companies told us that cigarettes don't, so you never, you know, the people that are making the money always will tell you it's fine. So you have to look beyond that. So we can't just take their word for it. But
is it all oil companies that do the fracking for the natural gas?
I don't know.
Because there's also issues there. Who would want fracking to go away because they want us dependent on oil?
Well, yeah.
You always got to look at interests. Yeah. Everybody has an interest in something.
But if I'm an oil company CEO, I'm looking to diversify because I want to get into the next wave of whatever.
Wasn't that what Pickens did? He went heavy into
He went into gas.
Gas, yeah.
T-Bone Pickens, yep. He thought that natural gas was going to be the next thing.
And it is, if they can frack and get it together.
Jeremy also says it was great to see Dobson stepping up a few weeks in a row. The Patriots have been looking to him in some big spots as well as this garbage time production. He was the target on the last-minute flag route in the Bengals game in the 80-yard out and was in the 80-yard out and up was a nail-in-the-coffin score that the Pats have been lacking lately. Is it just me or is our major critique of him getting no separation been steadily improving?
It's improving. I still think there's a lot of lack of separation and a lot of back shoulder fades, and he said he's working on that. And I still, his body control.
See, the problem, there was a back shoulder fade earlier in the game that they didn't connect with. The problem was when he does that, he's fading away from the ball.
Well, he's still learning it.
You know, and so Brady's throwing it, and he's moving really away from the ball, and so he's got no shot to catch it.
But as he said, he isn't real familiar doing it and doesn't always know when it's coming. That's a problem. I mean, that's part of the effort of getting on the same page with Brady and getting – I think you've seen enough from Dobson to have hopes, to have pretty high hopes for him as a second-round developmental receiver. I really do. I'm seeing something that I want to invest in, and I want to see where it goes.
Brian says, seemed to me that Adrian Peterson got the benefit of the doubt with the whistle and forward progress on his TD run against Dallas. Did you see that replay?
No.
I think he kept moving it. I did. I thought he was okay.
That blunt run was one of the longest plays I've ever seen where they just allowed that to plow through last week.
To my great surprise, I'm actually enjoying your arguing at the beginning of the show today. Maybe it was because it was more brief and actually had a point, which isn't always the case.
Because I was involved, not Paul. Paul and Fred are the ones that have pointless arguments over simple language and semantics.
Still waiting for my papers from the Jets and Dolphins game, but at least I got my yearbook this year. It's a good thing I enjoy sunshine.com so much. Otherwise, I would just save my money.
The app. Patriots Football Daily is where it's at.
You got to get an iPad. This team is playing with big onions this year. With all the injuries, it has been heart-wrenching, but somehow more enjoyable. Go Northeastern. So he's one of Paul's guys.
Yeah. Do you feel better about the offense or worse about the defense coming out of the game and the injuries and everything?
I feel better about the offense. I feel like the defense, assuming that Tlaib comes back, Ninkovich isn't too hurt too badly. You know, in other words, if they don't have any more injuries than they have, I think they could be okay. I like they got Sapuaga in there. You know, I think that was a definite need, someone that could help.
You're going to clean that up a little before you say it on the TV show, right?
I don't know why the Eagles just let us have him, but it's fine.
I mean, they had young players that they were supposedly molding. They didn't want to pay him, and, you know, we had the need.
Another emailer says that fracking's been done since the 50s.
Okay. So, what does that mean?
Well, I think I might have said, or somebody might have said, it's a new technology.
Well, it is.
Yeah.
I mean, based on these emails we've gotten, it's a very much unknown new technology that they're trying to fix, to simplify, to make more safe. And, you know, the water, I guess, that is very contaminated. What do you do with that water once you take that out? I mean, it's not exactly a fine-tuned process at this point.
Well, it's a rush to money at this point. You have to sometimes slow down and make sure that you have the doing it the right way.
But it's not. I don't think it's just money. I think money is a big part of it. But I think it's also our dependence on foreign oil and trying to advance our culture, our economy, away from just oil-based.
No, but I'm, you're right. That's why we need to do it. But I'm saying a lot of these companies, they don't want to. There's so much money to be made that sometimes that will, like we see, will always.
The first person that does it, it's going to get a lot of money. If you're the leader in there and getting all the natural gas, yes, you're going to make a ton of money.
Dan in Lynchburg, Virginia. First of all, something just occurred to me and I wanted to get your take on it. First of all, does the play clock that follows a touchdown allow the same amount of time as a standard play? Does the play clock that follows a touchdown allow the same amount of time as a standard play?
As far as I know, yeah.
Oh, you mean for like an extra point?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. If so, how possible would it be for a team to score a touchdown and then have the offense sprint up to the two-yard line, setting up a quick two-point conversion attempt? I know every score is now reviewed, which would add some extra time between the plays, but if the TD is clearly good and those reviewing the play don't need more than a couple of seconds to confirm the score, how quickly could the offense line up, snap the ball for a two-point attempt? In theory, the offense could know ahead of time that that was the plan, so no one would take time to celebrate the score. This is probably a ridiculous idea, but I figured if any team were to try to take advantage of this, it would be the Patriots. Could this be pulled off?
Take advantage of what?
Rushing to the line and catching the other team off guard for a two-point conversion.
You can do it anytime you want.
Yeah.
I don't really understand the question.
He's just saying if, you know.
You don't have to go for a PAT. You can go for a two-point conversion.
But he's wondering if you would be allowed to do that, just run up there and do the play. Or
if the play
is
there under
a certain amount of time between the touchdown that the refs kind of let people line up? And
if
all
the
that.
Play is under question, then yes, they're going to stop you. They did it the other day.
Yeah.
They were looking at something, whether they decided. Oh, it was the butt, the Dobson, the butt elbow one, whether they were deciding whether they were going to review it or not. And the official on the sideline is listening and waiting, and the guy over the ball will not let you snap the ball. But if it's a regular touchdown or there's no confusion over replay, you can, as fast as you can get to the line, you can run a play. You don't have to take your time and kick a PAT.
Right. Let's see. Andre from Ecuador writes in, big Pats fan.
Hola.
For a few years now, what do you think about Brady's situation? How many years would he have left in his career? Will we save him at least three more years, or will we have him for three more years? What happens when he's gone?
When he burps.
Has something been done for that? What do the Patriots usually do? Do they hire a franchise quarterback in free agency, or do they draft them?
Well, since they've only made a change at quarterback twice since 93.
Right.
I'm not sure there's a usually done.
Yeah.
If you had asked me a week ago how much time Brady has left, I might have said a year. You asked me this week, he's got 5 or 6 good years left in him. I'm riding the roller coaster of him. We'll see if he's deteriorating or not. But there is no plan in place. It's not Ryan Mallett. There is no heir apparent. Fred thinks they're going to draft a quarterback this year, one of the 10 with first-round grades. Right, John Rook?
Right.
John Rook's going for, who'd you want, Taj Boyd?
I think if, you know, they obviously look at the quarterbacks. They do the same scouting on the quarterbacks that every other team does, despite having Brady. And I think if someone falls in their lap in the first round, they will take it.
But, I mean, I haven't gotten into the draft at all. All I've seen is there are people that believe 10 quarterbacks could have first-round grades if they all come out.
If one of those 10 is somebody the Patriots really, really like and they have a chance of taking him, they will take him.
That is certainly a possibility. You could have a Green Bay Packers, Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre-like.
I think so.
And that guy and Brady will begin to hate each other.
Yeah, well. Jim in Walpole writes in, does anyone know the status of Arm & Hammer Armstead? I recall it was an infection that sidelined him, or a surgery to address an infection. How long could this possibly take to recover from? We don't know.
Yeah, for, I mean,
John Rooks here.
How long does it take for
forever
Rob Gronkowski to come back from an arm and an infection? I mean, we know the finite end of it will be in week 12. If he is not on the team by week 12, right? It's week 6 to 12. He stays on reserve for the rest of the year. If he is not back in week 12, it's over. Give it up.
Also, are Kyle Love and Brandon Dedrick on NFL rosters at the moment? And if not, why have they not tried to bring them back? I won't ask why the genius let them go in the first place. Seems like strange cuts for a GM who values depth and value, just saying.
Well, Kyle Love, as we talked about, had diabetes.
Right.
And we believe that to be a factor in
the
that.
The Jaguars tried to get him in there, and they cut him, too.
Right. And so there's one. And Dedrick, he had had some issues here. I'm not sure he was the hardest worker and all that.
Yeah, so the genius had a little bit more information than you did, Jim.
Well, the genius is the guy who brought those
two
in the first
place. Well, I don't understand why we have to be, so
mean.
Yeah, mean about the best head coach ever to walk a football field.
Right, because he's never snarky, and he doesn't say things like the experts at the league, and they may be competent.
But we like it when he says that.
No, you like it when he says that. You like it when he is the condescending snark and not when other people are treating him with such an attitude.
Yeah, well, those people deserve it. He doesn't.
He never deserves any criticism.
He's only given this region, the best era of football we've ever seen.
So we look past every fault. He has carte blanche, do what he wants.
Is he perfect? No. But I think you look past that with all the other good stuff.
You are unbelievable. It was like a mere 2-3 weeks ago.
Is anyone
late on a Sunday night after a loss where you were ranting and raving? They have one 55-point win, and you are so far back up Belichick's butt that it's unbelievable.
I'm nothing but consistent.
Let me guess. He should be president again. You're back on board with that. He should run the country.
I think he could be.
He would fix the fracking.
I think he could be president if he wanted to.
I don't.
Oh, yeah.
You think he could get enough people to like him?
I'm not saying that, but I'm saying once he had the job,
no,
I think he could do it.
To be president, you have to win the job.
I understand that. But
he has zero chance of winning a debate and winning public support.
That he could perform the job of president with flying colors.
Yeah, I don't know that, but I
do.
I actually think a lot of people with a decent work ethic and some intelligence could do it.
Right, I do too.
I think we've learned that. You don't have to have a lot of
prerequisites
to get the job done.
The best people in this country are not in politics.
Oh, no.
Right?
I would say the exact opposite.
Right.
The worst people are in politics.
Right. It used to be that way, 300 years ago, and then they would go back to their farm.
And even the good people that go into politics get ruined by politics.
Exactly. So, yeah, our best and brightest are not leading the country.
No, they're making money.
Yeah. Fred, if Coach Belichick asked you to rake leaves in his yard or mow his lawn, would you do it?
Sure.
Okay.
No, you wouldn't.
He likes him
you
that
have
much,
a
Andy.
Little bit of respect.
No, he has too much respect for me to ask me to do
no,
that.
He doesn't.
Does he have a yard? He's got that compound in Nantucket. It's probably, I don't know.
No, but he has a mainland home. He doesn't take a ferry to work every day.
I have no idea.
I don't really know where he
maybe
lives.
Maybe he lives in a condo. I don't know.
I don't stalk him. I don't really.
Yeah, I have no idea.
I've always. Forget it.
So, let's see. Todd in New Mexico. Love the show. Win or lose, I always tune in. It's been fun watching the offense try to work its way back to the high standard they set over the years. Rookies, free agents, injuries, and still the opposing defense better come to play. Patriots defense can keep both teams in it. Same story as the offense, rookies, injuries, and young overall. In the Belichick era, the Patriots have been overmatched a few times, but collectively I've never seen the Patriots be a pushover or ever mail it in. Week to week, year to year, we're always in the mix. Belichick and staff deserve credit. Smart move to pick up Soap and Bubbles. Who said they wanted Belichick to draft a playmaker? Was it Andy or Paul?
Andy.
Palomalo is a playmaker and highlight machine. How many times did he freelance himself out of the play on Sunday?
A lot.
Do you want Devin McCourty, who plays the position where and how he's told to play? Or
now we all love McCourty?
Or,
you couldn't run
the
gamble out of town
fast
enough
Palomalo.
A year ago. That's ridiculous. These fans are so flippant and reactionary that it makes me nauseous.
Whoever said Gregory is not getting the job done doesn't know football. Run support, help over the top, not afraid to stick his nose in it. I agree with that, right?
I agree with that. But so everybody loves McCourty now. He's perfect. I mean, we wanted to run him out of town.
But why does he have to, again, why do you have to go to the extreme? No, he's not perfect.
Right, but that's what that guy's
but
saying.
But he's playing well.
He is playing well, and I give him credit for that. He was a bust as a corner.
Right now, who would you rather have, Devin McCourty or Troy Polamalu?
Be honest. Well, but you know me. I'm reactionary as anybody. I would never take Polamalu on my Pop Warner team.
I think Polamalu's game's been going down the last few years.
He's still productive for them. I mean, I don't watch the games, but I'm just saying, you know, tackles. He had a good week in Oakland, I guess, with, you know, forced fumble. But
All right, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress. Paul and Eric had to leave early to go to the locker room.
John Rook's all dressed in black.
And he's heading over there now. John Rook's here.
Back
for,
in black.
Are you going to be able to find some nits to pick today?
I think we'll manage to find one or two.
Okay.
We'll explore because, you know, we've got 2 weeks now to work on this, so we'd better come up with enough to last us for 2 weeks.
All right.
You know, it was a 24-24 game in the third quarter.
It was.
So, all right. You know, it wasn't perfect.
And your defense,
they did give up
your defense did allow 31
yards.
Right. Okay.
You did allow three receivers to have, like, 90-something yards.
All right.
Wasn't exactly perfect.
Andy's on a pretty good track here. You want to stick around, Andy?
All right. That's going to be it for this edition of PFW in Progress.
I actually
John Rook
it,
and the Playbook is next. And then it's fantasy football champs at
5 o'clock.
We'll see you tomorrow.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.